Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Midsommar.
Midsommar.
It is not Midsommar anymore.
No.
It is Latesommar.
It's Latesommar. We've made it through the summer. If you're here, congratulations. You survived.
You survived Midsommar.
And now welcome to Latesommar.
Latesommar. We are hoping to see the director's cut of Midsommar.
Yeah. We're going to plan it. I don't know how it happens.
We're going to take your pod equipment to the movie theater at the Arclight and literally do a live
ourselves.
Pod. And just... probably get killed by people.
Podcast live from Midsommar, where Carrie goes, did you see that?
Did you see that?
Do you love this?
I told you.
And I go, woo!
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 Did I tell you? I told you that when we saw Midsommar, do you remember the... Were you there or were you getting your treat?
We were with each other.
No, I know.
Oh, okay.
Were you sitting at this moment when the... I feel like maybe you went to the bathroom and missed it, but when
the... Where the woman said...
No, when the... The pre-show like attendant came out and said, if you want to leave, now's your time.
Oh, yeah. Toy Story 4 is playing around the corner.
Yeah, you were there.
No, I wasn't, but you told me.
If you have to leave, if you're too scared, your chance to leave is right now. I was like, okay.
I love that.
It's like,
I love a challenge.
I love this challenge from like a gay guy that definitely worked at like a haunted hayride.
Yeah. I love like a get out now. Who is it? Like, who do they think is going to be like, okay, I'm leaving.
We're leaving.
Let's go.
Let's go.
Last chance.
We got to go now. We got to go to Toy Story 4.
They run out.
Ooh, Toy Story.
That's the sound.
Some people probably would.
People scurrying people would, out of his
song. I feel like people would take, like, some people would be like, oh, that's a really good idea. We should go.
We should actually go.
This was a mistake. This was a mistake.
Like, I knew it. I knew we should.
I knew it. I knew we shouldn't have come. Let's get out of here. Let's skedaddle.
Who's with me?
Hey, I'm leading
I'm going to leave. Who wants to come?
I'm leading a group out now to
no
Toy Story 4.
No shame.
No judgment, no shame. No judgment, no shame.
No judgment, no shame. No judgment. And then we go, Toy Story 4. Toy Story 4.
And the attendant is just sitting there with his arms crossed like, you kids.
He's like,
told you.
They left when I said.
Yeah.
He goes, 4, 3, two, okay, they're out.
They're yeah. out.
Now,
now
we start.
Let's get ready.
Buckle up.
Who's with me?
No shame.
No shame about
There's
this.
No shame in leaving.
No shame in leaving. We're going now. And whoever wants to come better get down on this.
Also, we don't have to see Toy Story 4. There are other movies.
There are other movies out there.
You
we can
don't
see...
even have to see the same movie as me. We can see different ones, but we can see leave Long together.
Shot. Yeah. We can see a last weekend screening of Long Shot. It's almost out of theaters.
Who's with me?
Seth Rogen's in it with Charlize. They're good together. They have chemistry, apparently.
Are you in or are you out?
Are you in or are you out? Let's go see.
What else even came out?
I don't know. I don't even remember the summer.
No, me neither.
I saw Crawl.
I need to
fucking
see
Crawl. Great.
You said it was great. Actually, the hugest news of the century of the 2000s, the 21st century.
Yeah.
The biggest news.
And the 20th century.
And the 20th century.
We'll just say it.
And actually, the entire history of the world is...
You alerted me to this.
And a reader alerted me to this, like, on Twitter.
Bless them.
Which at first I saw, and I was like, I'm not clicking on, like, a Yahoo link. Like, it's not happening.
Also, it was a website called The Blast.
Yeah.
Have you heard of that?
No. And so I was just like, what are you trying to do? What witchcraft?
What alchemy?
Yeah. Yeah. And so, but then I was like, okay, maybe I do need to see it. Yeah. And I clicked on it. And then the story of a century was just laid out in front of my face, which is that a woman is suing
Sir
for getting a case of food poisoning so bad that she immediately barfed and began uncontrollably shitting herself in the middle of the restaurant.
She also, so she had a kind of fish, an orange sauce fish.
She had, which I had a no white idea was- fish covered with an orange cream sauce on her plate, along with broccoli and potatoes.
Oh,
that's your
I
first
mean,
mistake.
Red flag. If you're going to go to Sir, get the risotto.
You never get the fish. You stick to pasta and goat cheese balls.
I also have never heard of an orange cream sauce. Maybe.
I wonder if we can find the Sir menu and figure out what it was.
But not only was she like...
Like who... I'm sorry, but like who... What did you think was happening
not
when
only,
you ordered this?
I don't know. But not
she
only...
She clearly is like yeah. maybe... not a reader of
no she was like this is like she probably has never heard of Vanderpump Rules.
No, I think like, she has, and like because it sounded like she was in town, she was having like a night out, like a fun night out, but then things went awry when she ordered.
Ooh. she drove up for the night from like Orange County and like was here with her girlfriends.
But it also I do find a lot of fault with Sir because they have a lot of seafood on the menu, which would lead you to believe if you really haven't like ever fucked with the restaurant and it's your first time and you're excited, like you're going to be like, maybe I want some salmon tartare.
Yeah.
Maybe I want a shrimp cocktail.
Yeah. And they should have, I mean, doesn't Lindsay always checks her seafood?
Yeah.
Remember? So Lisa maybe
oh, yeah,
should follow
has,
suit.
Okay, wait. I'm trying to find what this fish would have been.
I have to read an excerpt from... Well, you've looked for this. I just need to read this.
Okay, I'm pretty sure this was a grilled swordfish. No, maybe not. Fish of the day with two side orders. It could have been fish of the day. Maybe they took it off the menu to like cover their asses.
I mean,
an orange cream sauce on a fish is a true nunca. That's a cease and desist
according
from my lawyer to your restaurant if you're serving that.
According to the suit, this is from the article.
Mm-hmm.
After eating white fish covered with an orange cream sauce on her plate, along with broccoli and potatoes, 1 hour into eating her meal, her head suddenly whipped back, causing her body to move backwards as well, as she felt a hot sensation rise from her stomach into her chest and then into her throat that she was unable to control. Her head came forward while vomit filled her mouth. This is so gross.
This is literally a Stephen King novel.
Her head came forward while vomit filled her mouth, and she began vomiting profusely. After allegedly falling to the floor on her knees, she continued to vomit, also defecate through her clothing.
Through her clothing.
That is, this poor woman.
This poor woman was on her hands and knees in the middle of Sir, shitting herself, furiously shitting herself through her clothing.
To add insult to injury, she claims in the lawsuit, while lying on the floor, staff members of Sir came over and began throwing water on her and on the ground around her, but did not offer any further assistance.
Okay, that's how I knew this was real.
Yeah.
Because that is exactly what the workers at Sir would do. Ew.
Ew.
Ugh.
Can you imagine just all of them being like, I don't know what to do, like just tossing,
putting water on you and then on the ground.
Like, what are they anointing the girl?
I think they're just like, get it out of here. Like, it's like, we'll wash it.
Help her up.
Yeah, help her up. The first Give her a hand. Take her to the fucking bathroom.
Take her to the parking lot and like hose her down.
Call 911.
What I would do if I was a server, I would immediately like help her up.
I would get two her other off people the to floor. Help her up, and then I would call 911.
I would, but I would also clear her from the floor. I don't want other patrons seeing, first of all.
What if you're eating at a restaurant and someone gets possessed?
I would projectile vomit and diarrhea.
If I saw someone shit their pants, I would shit next my pants. To my table.
I would have like
I would actually look over at who I was with and be like
I would have psychosomatic die.
You would just fully it would be like the plague.
Yeah.
It sounds like she got possessed by something.
She tilted her head back and kind of went like, oh.
She was like, like longer than a Jules Kirby, like, but like she full
She fully Reagan and the Exorcist, like, projectile.
I have never been so sick. Like, I've had, like, a vomit-die mashup, but, like, it's given... I've had it where I've had enough time to run to the nearest toilet.
I've projectiled.
I've, like, out of nowhere just been like, bah! Like,
well, I had, like, a drug-related throw-up sesh, and I literally projectile vomited in a cab.
Oh, no.
My cab driver went, get out!
Can you imagine?
Yeah, like, I was... Sir, I mean, actually, I can't believe I just admitted that.
I'm surprised that this is the first time we've ever heard of this person, of it happening there. So it goes on to say that someone from the family called 911. The woman was taken out on a stretcher and transported to Cedars.
Where she would then was there for five days.
Before being cleared to fly. We were always like, take me to Cedars. But literally this woman got taken to Cedars as a result of
She got strapped to a gurney from orange cream sauce on whitefish.
3 days in intensive care. Five total days in the hospital. Pray that she had insurance, because that ain't a cheap hospital. That's her bill's probably $100,000.
Yeah, also, they should have Sir pay for it, if this is true.
Definitely.
Allegedly.
Someone's going to have to burn down a restaurant to cover this woman's medical bill.
I know.
Jeremy is, like, getting his matches together.
You know what to do. Like,
Jeremy, you know what to do.
You know what to do, Jeremy.
He goes, get the kindling. Head to the electrical room.
Jeremy and Max. No, they would never put Max in that position.
No. Max couldn't pull it off.
No, he would mess it up.
He'd fuck it up.
But just the idea of this, of a woman in like pants.
On all fours. Where she shits herself and you see it spread through her pants. And there's no words. It was also pointed out in the lawsuit, Sir was, quote, inspected by the health department on or around July 14th, 2017. This happened in August 2017. So, like, about a month later, this woman had her possession.
So, we've eaten there post...
Yeah.
We've
eaten... Have I eaten it, Sir?
Yeah, remember for my birthday?
Yeah. Okay.
We ate...
When was your birthday in 2017?
No, remember we ate last year at Sir for my birthday?
Yeah. But what date was that?
April 23rd.
Oh, yeah.
So this was post...
No.
Yeah.
Yes. Fuck.
Time.
Damn.
But the idea of this woman on all fours like a fucking Griffin or like a Sphinx.
Ghostbusters level possessed.
She's literally Gozer.
You don't know what that is.
The god in Ghostbusters who's like, choose your form of a destructor. That like naked woman with like bubbles all over her skin.
Yeah. That's this lady.
She's on all fours literally going,
and like shitting herself.
Can you imagine how traumatized everyone was? I mean, obviously this woman probably needs therapy. I mean,
this is not PTSD. Only in any public scenario, like one of my worst fears is vomiting in public, and it's happened before where I ate at Cafe Gratitude, and then on the way home, my friend who I was with had to just pull over. I was like, you have to pull over, like, I'm about to yak, and like just stepped out into someone's like front lawn in Hancock Park and was like, bah! And then I come back and I was like, let's go. But that's like a worst fear.
There's something also about vomiting. My thing is whenever I've... To this day, whenever I vomit, I say, I'm sorry. If someone's watching me, I'm always like, I'm sorry. Like when I was little and I used to get car sick, I always used to be like, I'm sorry.
It's such like a...
There's like a shame thing about it.
I think because it's like so out of control.
Yeah.
Like, if you shit yourself, chances are like you can pretty much be like cover it up somehow. I mean, well, not if you're this woman in this scenario. But like if you're like... There's ways to like have no one know that you've brewed yourself.
I've never shit myself in public as an adult.
I have never shit myself. I've gotten so close. I've gotten
literally
within
inches,
seconds
away from pooping in public. I've been there.
Yeah.
And like a hot New York day.
Ooh.
Like running into like fucking like Barnes & Noble in Union Square or like.
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Chipotle.
But like barfing is
your
like.
Barfing, but this is a...
Barfing is, like, animalistic. Like, you can't control it. And when it has to happen, there's no, like, not barfing. You know what I mean? Like, you're gonna barf.
But the idea of projectiling on all fours just going...
on the floor is, like, so...
It's like Bridesmaids.
Yeah. It's worse.
Bridesmaids. But...
But they said the health inspector found 7 violations, including unclean food contact surfaces, the presence of rodents, insects, birds, and or other animals.
Birds.
And substandard equipment and utensils.
That's how the Black Plague spread.
Yeah.
That's the rats.
Literally... Lisa, what if a virus started that was born ground zero is at Sur and it just spreads and takes everyone in its wake?
In LA?
Yeah, in LA.
And they have to like cordon
it's
LA.
It's like Contagion.
Yeah.
I'm Gwyneth in Contagion and I like eat like a piece of like pork at Sur, something unclean.
And then you spread it?
And I spread it, but I'm like so sick and then everyone, you have to investigate. You're Kate Winslet.
And then I die eventually.
You die right at the end. Yeah. You're like...
But I die giving my coat to someone.
Yeah, like you're doing a good deed.
I've had violent food poisoning. I don't want to say the establishment, or maybe I should, but
I had it from a place that like everyone goes to. I had it from Little Dom's.
Really?
Yeah.
Shit. I had it from Astroburger. I had it when I first moved. Not first. I was like a few months after I lived here and my boyfriend and I had been dating for like 2 months maybe. And mm-hmm. I had it. I ate it the night before and then I was like deathly ill that day. And I went home because I felt sick. I was hanging out with him and it was like in that period where like you're not there yet where you can be like, come take care of me.
Yeah.
Which he probably would have, but like
but I like just, it's too so intimate
I,
almost.
Yeah, and like I had to like walk to 7-Eleven and like I was like tripping. It was that kind of food poisoning where you're vomiting and everything else and you're like you can't walk straight. Like it was that bad from fucking Astroburger.
Yeah.
But I still eat there.
At a friend's house, I had like spent the night. I had like I went to Little Dom's with like a group of girls. We all ate. Then we went out to like a house party and I spent the night where the house party was. I woke up at like 5 a.m. having to run to the bathroom back and forth for the next like 6 hours.
To do what?
To shit and then barf. No. And then I finally like felt like I had reached like I had nothing else in my system. So I was like, I think I can Uber home and like make it. So I did. And like, thankfully made it, but it was so touch and go. And then I called Little Dom's because another one of my girlfriends who had had the same pasta dish as me was also sick. And I called them and I was like, hey, I just want to let you guys know, like, I was there with like a table last night and my girlfriend and I are really sick today. Like, I think that there's something, like, I think we have food poisoning from your restaurant. And they were so rude about it.
Oh, yeah. They take no accountability.
Restaurants are like really rude about that. And then Natalie, they talked to her for this lawsuit and she says, co-owner Natalie Zapata tells us, Sur has been in business for 15 years, serves over 150,000 patrons a year. We've maintained our A rating from the Department of Health and have regular checks from the health department. We have no record of this ever happening. And if someone had vomited and defecated on the floor, it would have immediately been reported to the health department and would have been on our cameras or others. Lies.
Lies.
So that's a lie. You're saying this woman did not... I just don't believe that this woman would anyone would sue someone. Why would you say that?
It's humiliating.
Yeah. Why would you be like, hey, remember me, I'm the person that on all fours shat myself and like bombed that one night. It's me back from the dead.
You know, have you ever seen that clip from that movie Possession with Isabella Adjani?
No.
It's from like the 70s and she's like walking in like a Berlin subway station and she has like, it's about a woman who's like possessed,
mm-hmm.
and she has a complete like, she's like, ah, ah, and then she gets down on all fours and like miscarries, but you see it and like she's on all fours.
Oof.
Maybe I shouldn't mention this.
I mean, no, that's wild, but that is like a sir.
That's what I was imagining this clip. But the thing that gets me is why, it's not this poor woman's fault at all, but
no.
Like, it's a humiliating thing. That would be humiliating to like know that you shat yourself in a restaurant.
I feel, yeah,
no matter how like it's,
if it
not
happened
her
to me at sir, I would laugh.
I would laugh too.
Fucking believe this shit.
I'd be like on all fours like, can you believe this is happening?
I'd ask a friend to film. I'd be like, yeah, you gotta get this.
Yeah,
but like if it happened at any other non-Vanderpump establishment, I would move to Antarctica.
I and do like penguin this year, research. I was in Austin, Texas, and I ate something with shrimp, but it was like a 2-hour food. Like I was just throwing up profusely.
You just had
like
to get it out of your system.
And they called. Simon called, and they were like, they were kind of like, oh, well, all our shrimp is fresh, and he was like, well, he's like puking, so
it's literally not.
It's literally not. And they
it's
were like,
"It's not like I'm trying to like get a refund. Yeah. I'm just like trying to tell you so that someone else doesn't fucking shit out liquid for like 24 hours. Like, what's your problem?"
Oh my god, I'm ashamed to admit this, but like I was laughing while reading it, but also like my heart was breaking while reading it.
I was cried tears streaming down my face. We were texting, and I was just like, I was dead. This is Christmas cometh early. I hope this woman gets $3 million.
I know. I hope everyone, and I hope the people,
I want this to be like the case of the century. I'm ready for this to get like OJ level coverage.
Let's investigate.
Let's fully investigate. I also am like, Lisa's ties run so deep because this story ended up on two websites only. Yahoo News, which is like, I didn't even realize Yahoo was still a thing. I thought that was like a spam link that this person was tweeting me. Yeah, but you worked there when it was like on the brim.
On the brim.
On the brim of shutting down.
And then the blast, which many people pointed out was funny.
The blast. But Lisa.
The diarrhea of like.
Lisa knows, and I had someone this week, actually, to bring it back around to Puppygate, confirm that Lisa has ties at whatever the organization is that owns Us Weekly and In Touch and like all those magazines. She has like friends there, direct ties to Radar Online, and obviously the Daily Mail, because everything they print about her is like glowing and sweet.
She has, yeah.
So Lisa, there's no way that she buries coverage like this.
Lisa is very fascist.
Total dictator.
But she must have she must have some kind of tie at Cedars too.
Yeah.
She was like, wipe this clean, pay for it, take care of it.
She
probably covered the girl's hospital bill and was like,
do you think?
You may never. She's like,
this woman's probably not allowed to talk to the press,
yeah,
because she's embroiled in a lawsuit. But like,
how did this even break?
Can't you just get like, isn't this like public record?
Yeah.
I have some research to do. I'm Dale at the library. I have my new.
Well.
What a history.
Well.
Wow.
I'm going to check this out. No, but what if Lisa, what if she was like, here's the deal. She like comes into, the girl's like opening
she's
her eyes.
She's on life support.
And beep, beep, beep.
She has a full-blown beep, like tracheotomy. Yeah. Like,
she opens her eyes from like a deep, like drug-induced sleep, and standing over her bed is Lisa.
Mm-hmm.
She opens her bed,
she opens her eyes, and
Lisa's in the corner of the hospital
room.
There's
a Pomeranian like looking down at her. And then beyond that is like Lisa kind of standing, like
Lisa's
bending down, but the palm is like in her arm. So all you see is the palm when you like open your eyes.
It's nighttime and she looks up and Lisa has her glasses on and she's reading something. And there's like, she brought some flowers.
Lisa's reading her medical chart.
She's reading her medical chart.
Flipping through it.
Yeah. She's going like this. She's going, what, with her finger on her tongue, mm-hmm. turning the page. And she goes, yeah, look who's awake. And the woman's like, what? What? And she goes, visiting time is over, but I called in a favor.
I have my ways.
And she's like, no, I'm reading over your charts.
When you're Lisa Vanderpump.
No doors closed, not even hospital doors. And she goes, I'm reading your charts. She goes, interesting stuff. She gets up and the woman's like, you, why did you have the orange cream sauce? And Lisa's like, here's what's going to happen. You're going to get through this. You're going to get better. I'll heal for your recovery. I'll pay your bills. I'll send you back to wherever it is you're from. She goes,
some flyover state, I'm sure.
Some flyover state. And she looks through the blinds at like the lights of like Beverly Hills and the twinkling. And she goes, but here's the deal. You may never return to Los Angeles ever again.
She exiles
you are banned
her.
From the Los Angeles area and all counties around it.
Don't come near West Hollywood.
Don't go near West Hollywood anymore.
Don't go near any gay neighborhoods.
You're also not
for
allowed
I to... have soldiers everywhere.
I have soldiers everywhere. You're also not allowed... I've revoked your cable bill. Your cable privileges are over. You won't be allowed to watch Bravo anymore.
You'll never watch Bravo again.
She goes, but I'm covering your hospital bills, which I'm sure you need. And the woman's like, but I want to watch Bravo.
I just need to watch Bravo.
I like Summer House.
She's like, my stomach, the doctor said, will never be the same. She probably is like, has lingering health problems
yeah.
from this.
And Lisa goes,
if you're in the hospital for, if you're in intensive care unit for 3 days, you have a very serious problem.
And Lisa looks at her and she goes, that's right. Your body will never be good again. It'll never work the way it was, but it once did.
Consider it a warning.
You'll always be functioning at 80% from now on. And she goes,
you'll have to take prebiotics, probiotics every day with every meal.
You'll have to take pills every day. You'll have to get increased checkups every day. And she goes, and that's...
Stool samples.
She goes, but it's all worth it. And she's like, what do you mean? She's like, I have my eye on you. It's a privilege to be watched by me.
Lisa puts her one finger, like the woman is getting like an IV that's like giving her life, and Lisa just puts a finger on the IV,
she
like stopping it. She squeezes it.
She takes out a vial with an oxygen bubble in it.
Yeah.
And she holds it up to the IV and the woman goes, no,
please,
Lisa, please, nurse. And she tries to call and she goes, I've unplugged that, silly dear. And she sticks the needle into the IV and she slowly presses the oxygen bubble. She goes,
I want to hear you say, you'll never watch Bravo again.
You'll never step foot in LA again. Oh, you don't, please don't make me, I promise you things I can't keep. And she goes, and the bubble is slowly getting closer and the woman's eyes are bugging and she's like, one drop of this. She says, you'll be dead within 10 seconds. She goes, have you ever seen someone die quickly? And the woman's like, no, I haven't. She goes, I have.
She goes, it might be quick, but it sure isn't painless.
It'll hurt. I can tell you that.
It'll be agony.
It'll
worse
be agony.
Than what you experienced it, sir.
10 seconds of agony.
What you allegedly experienced it, sir.
She goes, 10 seconds of agony like this will feel like a lifetime. And the woman's like, please, no! And the oxygen, it's like inches, like half an inch away from
it's
the,
edging
the
closer
tube.
And closer. The whites of the woman's eyes. She's like whale eyes.
And she goes, okay! Okay.
Fine.
I promise I'll never come back to LA and I'll never watch a Bravo show again and I'll never say anything to you about anything to any of the tabloids. And Lisa just goes, she takes the needle out and she goes, that's a girl. So.
She goes, well, I'm off.
I've got to go back to Sir.
Got to
clean up your mess.
We have some cleaning up to do since you and gone.
And by that, I mean, you've got to mop up the floors. She goes,
by that, I mean, there's shit everywhere.
Looks like you took a little poopy on the floor, didn't you? She's like, a little poopy, right? You little pooed yourself. Just like a baby. Just like a toddler. And she goes,
we have a saying, it's her. Never get the fish. She winks.
And she leaves.
And she leaves.
Yeah, that's how it went down.
That is how it went down. But thankfully, this woman's like, she's been through like...
hell.
Years of gut rehabilitation to get to a point and like therapy And her comeback story is this lawsuit where she's like, she realized everything in her life. Like, she just let people walk all over her and like tell her what to do. She like dumped her husband. She's like, I want a divorce. I'm sick of being told what to do. And she like moves into an apartment. She's like, you know what? I'm getting Lisa. I'm going to fucking take this Vanderpump bitch down. So now she's lawyered up.
Yeah.
And she's ready for a fight.
She's lawyered up. She's looking great.
Yeah. Looking great. She actually ended up losing a lot of weight.
Yeah.
So it was a good thing for her. In retrospect, it was like it had, you know, when a door closes, a window opens. That's how she's looking at it.
She just looked really fresh and relaxed.
Yeah.
Because she hasn't been able to walk that much. So
she hasn't walked. Her muscles atrophied slightly, but she's built them back up. And now she's on a strict diet
of boxing.
Yeah. Of paleo, like vegetables and like lean
keto
meats only.
Yeah.
No dairy, no sugar, no coffee. And she's ready
to go
head to head with the mistress of the underworld.
If anyone was there,
were you there?
Please come show yourselves, come forward. If anyone knows anyone that was there that night, allegedly, like, please.
If you've ever been to Sur or have had a friend that's been to Sur, please turn to them right now and say, have you ever heard of this? Were you there? Let's find. I need witnesses.
And has anyone ever been?
Have you been sick from Sur?
From Sur?
Not just like a sick feeling of dread, but like an actual vom.
That's a given.
Yeah. Tell us.
Tell us immediately.
Write in sexyuniquepodcast@gmail.com ASAP because I need to know. And readers, this is
urgent.
This is your responsibility now.
We're in ICU with this.
We're in ICU. We need a hashtag to mobilize. I'm deputizing you guys as my detectives. I need a witness, Katy Perry.
Susie Sir. Like
Susie Sir.
The orange Seuss. Sus. The orange sus.
The orange sus. Oh my sus. God.
Hashtag orange sus.
Like suspect?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like that's sus.
Mm-hmm.
Damn.
Orange sus.
Orange. The orange.
Orange cream sus.
So we are embarking on a show that I've never watched before, shockingly. Gallery Girls. The one season wonder from 2000.
The one season wonder from 2010 that truly, this is the third time I'm watching it. This is Carrie's first time watching it. I'm darked out by it more than ever before.
It's really dark.
It's really like, it's a sad, it's just a tragedy.
No, it's 2012. Yeah.
My God.
I was in New York in 2012.
2012, the year the Earth was supposed to end.
Yeah.
According to the Mayans.
God, if only it had.
Kind of did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's a great glimpse into a very specific, like, high
no
society.
No wonder it, like, didn't work as, like, a reality show. Because, like, who gives a shit about, like,
I know.
These girls? Like, I could see as an outsider, you're watching this and you're like, what even is happening? Like, this is kind of boring and like, who are these people? But it actually is like,
there's nothing to relate to.
Fascinating.
Also, it's like,
it takes place in the art world, which I feel like is like, no one that's really super chic in the art world is going to let you film them.
No, it's also like during kind of like the come down of the recession, like it's still in the recession and like things were still not good. And like, everyone's kind of like, why do I want to watch like, interns
and like entitled millennial entitled. Like it was like the beginning of people identifying like what millennials were and these girls are like peak millennial, like most of them have like allowances or a trust fund, they're living in New York, like they are now what people joke about in New York, which is like, you don't live there and work then like not work there, like most people that live in New York or grew up in New York like have trust funds and like
they
are
somehow
bankrolled somehow.
Like some of them can afford to live alone.
Yeah.
Which I'm like, what?
Yeah.
Are you kidding? Like the last place I lived with three people.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's not possible unless you have like $8 million.
It's a lot of money.
Yeah.
Everything's expensive.
Everything is so expensive in New York.
Starbucks is more expensive in New York.
Cigarettes are more expensive in New York.
Everything. Single thing.
Everything.
One by like, one down the line, you name it, it's more expensive in New York.
Even if you live like far out in Brooklyn, like I did at the end, like it's still fucking expensive. Like everything costs. Yeah. Anyway, but they Yeah, so it's like, it's such a weird choice that the Bravo did it, but...
But I see why they did it.
Oh, yeah.
Because, like, New York... I mean, Real Housewives of New York was already a thing. It's definitely, like, a bunch of girls that know each other. Like, I think you have, like, a good core group of girls that know each other, know of each other. So it's easy to build a show, like, around them. And there's also, like, really fascinating
dynamics
happening between everyone.
I'm already, like...
Are you hooked?
I'm already hooked. Yeah, I think it's also, like, such a... Bravo is, like, definitely trolling a little, like, being,
everyone,
like...
Everyone that worked on the show did these girls dirty in the cutting room.
But also they knew that the viewers would be like, fuck these girls. You know? It's, like, it's...
You're filled with rage, hatred... Mm-hmm. Disgust.
It's like the NYC prep kids.
Yeah.
Like, they all had a nightmare experience afterwards. Like, because I talked to two of them for an interview, mm-hmm. and, like, one of them was run out of her school. It's like, they, these kids and these young people get, like, they're like, yeah, I want to be on a TV show. And then
you have producers being like, don't worry, like, mm-hmm. just, like, say this. And then they, like, edit it to make you look even more monstrous than you already are. Though I do believe, like, these girls, it's a pretty accurate portrayal of, like, what like. Like, I don't think that anyone's, like, coming off in a different way than who they actually are.
But it's
much like Vanderpump Rules felt very authentic, this mm-hmm. feels very authentic.
For sure. And, like, you know, the Housewives now, especially, like, Housewives of New York, it's such a... there's such a cult around it now that, like, mm-hmm. The episodes feel very much at this point like they look, some of them end up looking shitty because of, like, their, but, like, the show isn't trying to make them look bad anymore.
No, it's like celebrating them.
Yeah.
And it's like a, it's like a comedy.
It's like a scripted show now.
Yeah, but it,
but this
Housewives of New York has transcended and is like a whole new genre.
It is.
Like, it deserves an Emmy.
It does.
It really does.
There
that's another that's another podcast for another time.
I think that I think that this kind of show is like, there's no control. The producer, you're at the mercy of the show.
Yeah,
and, like,
it's a first season. You literally have no say.
It's Wild Wild West.
Mm-hmm. You're just lucky if you, like, make it onto the show and, like, you want the show. I think you don't even start getting really paid good money until you're in, like, season three of a reality show.
Damn. Is that what happened to Vanderpump People?
Yeah. Wow. I remember Ariana's, at the time, manager was telling me, like, I was asking him about, like, how they got on the show and, like, all this shit, and he kind of mentioned that.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
You know,
so you work for, like, pennies.
On a side note related, I read something somewhere that, like, Tinsley only makes 80, people were like, she only makes 80,000 per season because she doesn't, Tinsley's not asking for the money. She's just there. She's just happy to be on the show. And I was like, again, people, she's
guys,
fucking rich.
Yeah. Tinsley is probably richer than most of the women on that show.
On the whole, like, franchise of any, like,
I'm going to Google her net worth.
It's like 35 or 40 million. It's like, she does not need, like, I love these articles being like, she's just desperate to be on the show. It's like,
yeah,
no, she's
have
just
you,
like,
fucking met her? She wanted to be on a reality show for 10 years, and she finally got on a really successful one. She's great on it.
And she's probably
the
like, yeah,
reason
I don't...
she's so amazing is because she doesn't need the money.
Yeah, she's like, I don't care. Like, don't save the money for someone else. Like, she's probably doing someone else a favor.
Yeah.
It's just, I'm like, people... Anyway, so these... But these girls are definitely, and gallery girls are probably making, like...
They're making, like...
$1,000 an episode.
Yeah. They're making, like, $500. They're paying them in cigarettes.
They're paying them in cigarettes and Metro cards.
Yeah, and, like, drink tickets.
Yeah.
Yeah. $35 million, approximately $35 million, Tinsley.
So that means more.
Yeah. So, like, get over it.
Get over it.
Some people have trust funds. That's how the world works.
These people do.
These people do. Tinsley does.
If you, basically, if you're on one of these first season reality shows and you end up not needing to change your, like, getting facial reconstructive surgery or, like, allegedly, or, like, changing your name, allegedly, like, you're good to go, but, like, otherwise it's a crapshoot.
It's a crapshoot.
We can edit that out.
But I feel like we'll have to do a wellness check on everyone at some point. But, like, what's funny is these girls were all the same age. They're, like, the same age as us. So I remember watching this show.
They're really young.
They're really young. And I was, like, in my early 20s, and so were they when the show was happening. So it was like you're watching your contemporaries,
yeah.
like people that you may know. And, like, I know someone that knows Chantal. Like, they're around. I've seen Chantal. Like,
really?
I think she lives in LA now.
Huh.
And like, these are
going against her own.
These are women that are like alive. Around. You're 6 degrees or less away from them.
I mean, I Googled Amy.
Yeah.
She's like high up in the junior club of Miami. Junior league.
Junior league.
That's funny that Chantel moved here because New York is apparently the only city in the world.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I guess we'll go into it.
Get into it. Jesus Christ. It opens up with like all the girls, like you're meeting all the girls and they just love living in NYC.
We start with Angela. She's a beautiful model.
Beautiful Asian model with hair that's long, long, long down to her butt.
Her parents are both doctors. They don't approve of her lifestyle. She like is okay topless for a picture.
Yeah, they cut her off after college, so she makes money by modeling, waiting tables, but what she really wants to do is be a photographer.
I'm like into her journey. Like she's scrappy, she's doing whatever she needs to do to survive in New York. Like I get it.
Angela seems like a lawler.
She is.
Like I've had watches of the show where I've been like, I fucking hate Angela, and I might get to a point where I'm
me
like,
too.
I don't like her anymore.
But for now,
I'm really into her vibe.
She's like,
seems like she is having the most fun. Of anyone. Yeah,
she doesn't care. Like she's like, I'm just on this. She's like, I'm not here for a long time. I'm here for a good time.
Yeah, and she's an artist. She says she struggles calling herself an artist, but she really is an artist.
I like that.
Yeah, and I like it.
There is shame in calling it like some. It's hard.
Hard.
It's hard to be like, yeah, I'm an artist,
or to own your own creative truth. And Angela's just like doing it one day at a time.
She's like kind of
one tit at a time.
One tit
out at a time. One kabuki face paint is at a time.
Mm-hmm. But she's may or may not be sleeping with. She's like
she meets a photographer who's like an Aussie fuckboy kind of photographer.
He's like
on a shoot. Yeah, he's cute.
I think they've gone on a date before.
He's kind of like shaggy and slouchy.
She
and
like
he shoots her fully nude. I think she said he shot her putting a flower in her pussy.
Yeah, she's like, should I put a flower in my pussy? Like she's saying things to get like a reaction out of him. She's like,
I think she was saying that we remember that photo. Like,
oh,
do you
right.
have that photo of me with a flower in my pussy? And he's like, I wouldn't say it's really in your pussy. And
he's like, I'm not going to say pussy around you.
And it's like, okay.
Yeah. Everyone's cool. Like, just go fuck.
Yeah, please.
And then Angela says the best line of all time. She goes, I'm obsessed with men. Which we were both like, same.
Yeah. I love men. I'm obsessed with men.
Yeah.
So she's boy crazy.
Boy crazy in Williamsburg.
Yeah, which I love. So she lives in Brooklyn. Then we see Carrie from Long Island.
K-E-R-R-I.
Yeah. Carrie, I feel like, looks really familiar to me. But I think all girls that are named Carrie with K-E-R-R-I look the same.
She looks like a swimmer.
She's like kind of has a Carrie Russell face.
Uh-huh.
And then I've known another girl named Carrie like that looked like her.
She looks like lots of girls that I knew in New York who were just like living in New York.
Yeah.
She's really angular. She's moving into a new place in the Greenwich Village. She's moving to the West Village.
A small one bedroom. Her apartment's so small. It was like you could turn around in a circle and that's about as big as it is. But she's living on her own.
Yeah.
And she's totally self-sufficient.
Her parents were middle class Long Island people, which she mentions.
Yeah.
Her mom is like helping her move a mattress and she's wearing like a very mom.
She's like a turtleneck under a cardigan.
Sweater.
With like a low pony.
And like sneakers and jeans. And she sounds like she smokes cigarettes and carries... You know, gotta hand it to her. She's fucking
She's making it happen.
She's able to live in the West Village
by herself.
2012 by herself.
Things are pretty good for
Clearly
Carrie.
She's doing well. But you find out that has another job that's like...
She's a concierge to, I think, like, luxury. I think it's like a concierge. She acts as like a liaison for like rich people and like luxury companies or something like that.
You kind of get the sense that she's like a little desperate to be like in that world. Like she's like she owns being from a middle class background and like she's like I'm self-sufficient, blah blah. But she's also like she's like, I don't pretend to like I'm not part of this. Like, I don't know. There's something about her that made me think that like she longs to be part of that world.
Yeah, but it's almost there's a part of her that it seems like she's the kind of person that just works so much, yeah. so much of the time. She doesn't have a lot of time to like think or long for anything.
That's
so
true.
If she's not awake, like working, she's sleeping.
Yeah.
And like she's just like going to work and work and work until she like gets to wherever she gets to.
And
I hope she's like really successful now.
She probably is. She's the kind of person you can like, you would meet her and be like, that's... She's going to be successful.
Yeah. Or she'll be fine. Like, be fine. I'm not worried about her.
No, I'm not worried about Carrie.
I mean, she's pretty boring on this show.
So boring.
But, like, whatever.
But she really wants to, like, tap into her creative energy. And I think she wants to get into boutique hotel.
She like, wants to be, like, selecting art for boutique hotels. So which she is, wants, like, cool.
Cool. It's very,
I'd love that job. Yeah. If you're a boutique hotel owner or listening to this podcast, I'll pick out some art for you.
Yeah.
I have Google.
I'll curate some playlists
yeah,
for your
Google
lobby.
Yeah, Google and good taste.
Yeah. It's a very specific want, but that's a kind of like specificity where like, oh, you could get really successful because it's,
yeah.
there's not much.
And I fully have faith in her that she'll be able to achieve that goal.
Yeah. And her mom is like, proud of you, kid.
Yeah.
You're doing this on your own. Father and I can't help you. I'm sorry about that, but I'm proud of you. You got your own room? And she's like, yeah, I need you to leave so I can have a moment to myself in this apartment.
Mm-hmm.
And then like plops down in her bed and probably sleeps for like 17
she
hours.
She falls into a death-like slumber.
Yeah, she's exhausted.
Yeah.
She seems stressed.
She's always stressed. I think she's probably, like you know, she's scrappy too.
Yeah.
Her and her mom moved their mattress. Like, she didn't get like a moving company.
No.
Like, she's like moving furniture Ugh. Up, walk up apartment. The apartment element of New York
it's
is
harrowing.
Enough to keep me away forever.
It's bad. I've moved a few times in New York and it's really stressful. And moving mattresses / like anything up. I was on a fifth floor walk up. I was on a fifth floor in Bushwick and. When we moved, I had the flu that day, so it was like, it was bad.
I feel the blood draining out of my body.
Yeah. It was, it's tough. Like, I mean, I know.
It's a hard life.
It's hard.
It wears on your.
I love New York. I loved living. I'm really happy I lived there, but it is. It's
New York is cool, but it's like.
It can be a nightmare.
When you live in LA and you're just like, you can walk right out the door and it's like sunny and like. Just like the light breeze is blowing and like I
my whole thing in yeah no I mean I used to like be on the subway and would like look around coming home from work and just be like
everyone
why
sad.
Are we all not crying right now together, like why are we all not just screaming
mm-hmm.
because this everyone is like you can just feel everyone being like I gotta get home
yeah. And then when you get home, it's like you open up like a little tuna can and like squeeze your body into it and like close the tuna can. And that's like the size of your house.
Yeah.
It's not like you can like sprawl out and be like, oh my God, I'm finally so relaxed. It's like you're just in like a tiny, you're in a tiny home.
No, it's like you.
People
like,
call an apartment. You're being like constantly gaslit.
Uh-huh. And like everyone around you is like, this is it. You know, we're all in this. You know, it's like, it's
rise and grind.
You know, flight or fall. You know, fly or fall. Like, you know, we got to really... What is that? Flight or fight? Fight or flight.
Flight or fall.
My brain is unhinged.
Flight or fall.
But it's like, you're either going up or you're going down. We're in this together. You know, this is New York, man. We're in this city together. The stars, the moonlight. You know, it's all coming down. The skyline. You see it over there. It's always creeping on you. It's always over your shoulder. You always got to be looking back. It's like New York. We're always on the... It's like, that's everyone in New York.
Yeah.
It's like this ruse that we're all like, isn't this great? We're all in this city and it's great. And we're all trying to make it in New York and it's really hard.
If you can make it there, you can make it anywhere. It's true.
But I do love New York.
I do love it.
And I loved being
when I was in New York, I was like loving, I love pounding the pavement.
Yeah.
I love heading to a meeting. I was late everywhere I went.
Late in New York is the best.
It's awful. I didn't realize how much like the, how long it takes to get places. And if you're taking the subway and I was like, cool, I got 20 minutes. It's great. And it's like 45 minutes later. I also got on a train going like the wrong way, which was I know, it was such a noob moment.
Oh, I'm kidding.
No, I ended up in like deep Williamsburg. I was like where am I?
The thing about the subways is like, you, it's really daunting, but if you spend like a week on it, you totally understand the whole
system. And
it was
truly the moment. I had Tony with me in his little carrier, so he took the subway.
Wow.
He likes the subway.
I miss the subway sometimes.
I like it. Like, I like just walking, getting on a train, and getting off the train, getting on another train, and like getting to where you need to go. I enjoy it. But like, New York is a, it's a kind of, they complicate the system.
I miss the community. I know this sounds cheesy, but like, sometimes it was nice, like, if something weird was happening on the subway, like, someone was, like, doing something insane, like, you could just look at one person, and they would look at you, and you'd be like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Like, that shit, I miss, like, those little moments.
Trauma bonding.
Yeah, or just, like, weird buskers, and, like, people doing weird shit, and, like, amazing, like, guys who were just, like, there's, like, a random guy in a mask, and, like, a gas mask playing the flute or something, and you're like, yes! You know, or, like, some guy in a mask playing, like, a dubstep, and you're like, with like a gas mask on, and you're like, oh, this is cool.
Yeah, where else are you gonna see it?
Where? Only in New York, you know what I mean?
But, and like, also, like, the amount of like different kinds of people you see day to day is amazing, because it does get really like homogenous here.
It also is isolating too. Like, you can be in LA, you cannot see anyone that you know for like days.
Yeah.
In New York, you run into people all the time.
Yeah.
I
ran into a reader in New York.
Wow.
Who recognized Tony.
Wow.
Erica. Shout out to Erica.
Erica. No, I miss it in the fall. I miss, like,
I think fall and spring are peak New York moments. Mm. Summer Christmas is a real challenge.
It is.
I was, like, covered in sweat most of the time.
It's a hard place to live, but if you can make it work, it's great. And I think there's something, there is, like, beauty in the struggle. And I think, like, it's fun being scrappy in New York and like hungry and trying your best. You know?
Yeah.
But these people are, most of them besides Carrie are probably,
they seem pretty good.
Yeah.
Like, they seem like it's not that difficult for them.
So we leave Carrie and we go to
Carrie, and then we meet Amy, who's taking a bubble bath and talking to Daddy on the phone.
She's literally giggling in a bubble bath.
On the Upper East Side. She lives in an apartment on the Upper East Side that belongs to her dad.
And she's like on speakerphone, like giggling to her father while taking a bubble bath. It was like very like, she's,
and like lifting her leg up and like kicking around the bubbles.
Yeah. And she's like,
flirty. It's really flirty. It's incestuous.
She was having a flirty combo with Daddy. And she's like, my apartment is owned by Daddy.
Yeah.
He supports my life, and I have a free internship that doesn't pay.
She's interned for 2 years, did she say?
Yeah.
That's like, okay, no one needs to intern for 2 years.
Get a job.
Yeah, get a job. So Amy's just like, likes the Upper East Side.
Yeah, she loves it. She loves
to put on her heels. She loves like the streets aren't dirty and they're cute boys in vests.
Yeah, she loves.
She was like, loves all the cute preppy boys in vests.
She's like Tinsley.
Around. Yeah.
She's like, I love the Upper East Side. She loves being like the youngest person by like 9 years.
Later on, like, she's always wanting to go to like bars on the Upper East Side, and the other girls are like trolled by it.
Yeah.
They're like, why are you like this?
Amy, you can tell, is going to be like, she's going to get a lot of shit. You can just...
Oh, Amy is she's a tragic character on the show.
I already felt like, ooh.
It's just like one of those people where you're like,
stop.
I think she probably comes off the worst of anyone, and not even like a villain, like just being like, oh, this is like, I'm sad for you.
Sad for you that you decided to be on the show.
Yeah, it's like she has no real self-awareness.
Yeah.
And she's just trying so hard.
Yeah.
And it's like a little bit of desperation.
But like,
a lot of desperation.
Anyone, when you're introducing yourself by like being in a, like naked in like a seductive bath, like talking to Daddy.
When you're like, I'm going to take a bubble bath and call my daddy, do you want to film? And that's where you've gone off the rails.
The producers are like,
they're like, yes, yeah,
we will.
Do we? Then we meet Chantal and Claudia, two mavens who are starting a clothing store / gallery.
Chantal looks like Rooney Mara, mm-hmm, and they both have like, wear like pale makeup and have deep red lipstick and wear like black.
Yeah.
And they work at a boutique / painting gallery
called
on the
End
Lower
of East, Century,
which is like literally it's the beginning of the century. So it's like, why?
I had friends that had got to go into End of Century, which I was jealous of.
Wow.
I feel like maybe I walked by End of Century once.
It's probably permanently closed.
Oh, it's fully closed. I feel like it was open for like a year.
But like, I think I'm so confused by that name. What does that mean?
It's a weird name. It's like a portal,
I guess.
End of Century.
Cool. I think it just sounds cool.
They're like definitely the kind of girls that are just like, we'll just like open a clothing store. Like that was like, that time was when rich girls started just like opening clothing stores.
It felt very like Coke plan.
Yeah.
Like they were like up late one night and they're like, let's just do it.
Yeah. It was probably definitely how it started.
Because Claudia and Chantel had only been friends for like less than a year.
Yeah, a year.
And then they have a partner named Lara.
Amazing. Who's just kind of silent and like,
Weepy
and like is like always just has a facial expression like, what's going on?
She's like a middle part.
Yeah, she's just like kind of like, she's not like honoring the legacy of Lara.
No,
but it's okay.
She dresses like Darlene on Roseanne.
She does.
And so they're like getting ready for their big opening, like, and their biggest issue is Chantel's like, I think we should have white wine because I don't want the red wine spilling on any of the clothes.
Yeah. And Claudia's stressed. And we find out that she's stressed because her parents gave her $15,000 to start this like store, which now doesn't seem like that much money.
But it's still like,
that's a chunk.
It's a chunk. And also, so she's literally on her hands and knees cleaning the floor. And Chantel and Lara are like, why are you doing that? And Claudia seems to be doing the brunt work, and Chantel and Lara are like, we're the fashion liaisons, so we're just like Claudia's the art person and they're the fashion people.
Yeah, and they're like buyers and deal with like merchandise and stuff, and like Claudia's purpose I think is to like bring in artists and then like sell their work out of the store, which in theory, like, there is a really chic clothing store in Los Angeles that's also like a gallery / clothing store that I feel like is even like invite only, or you have to like, you can't even like go in there.
Yeah,
it's
in
like
theory,
very hidden away, but it's also like they sell like backpacks, like crocodile backpacks from the row there. It's like you're working at like a $50,000 like per item.
That's probably their goal, is to get to that like super like you have to like knock on the door to come in kind of thing. But it's like probably the worst time to open up like a shop in New York City.
Yeah.
But it's only something that like rich people could do.
Mm-hmm.
Like they can take the hit. But Claudia's stressing. You can see it in her face. She's really stressed.
She's stressed. And I'm like, did you guys start a business together? Like, do you guys have a corporation? Or like, how is this like, how is all this funding?
I think Claudia.
Working. Yeah.
I think Chantel just glommed onto her. Chantel seems like a glommer.
Like a glommer, but then also just like sits back while it like burns up and is like, whatever.
Whatever. You find out Chantel grew up in Georgia and was like, I always knew I was meant for the city. I was always different from the people around me. So at age 17,
I moved to New York. She also talks in a very affected voice that's like very specific.
Mm-hmm. It's like that. Yeah. And then we go to Liz Margulies,
who we Carrie Googled her dad. Her dad's like an art buyer or like an art collector, and he's worth like $1 billion.
He has like billions, and his collection itself is worth like 800 million.
So that's cool.
Cool. She announces herself by saying, I'm a student at the School of Visual Arts, aka SVA, and I live in Gramercy. It's like, okay.
It's like coming in hot,
Liz. She has a nose ring.
And she looks very like Orange County.
Mm-hmm. And she's just starting her internship at this gallery run by a guy named Eli for Asian artists.
Yeah.
For Chinese.
Eli Klein.
I think he's specifically Chinese artists.
Yeah.
And she's starting day one at that internship.
And we also meet Maggie, who is like, it's a tie right now between like who's more tragic, Maggie or Amy. They're pretty neck and neck.
Yeah, Maggie's like a sad, like...
Maggie has a trust fund, she said, so that's why she can, like, just languish in, like, intern hell for as long as she has. But she's been working for Eli as an intern, unpaid, for...
Since college.
So I guess for months.
And he gaslights her and, like, says, like, no, you've only been working here for 30 days.
Yeah, but I think that she... My theory is that she and Eli were, like, fully hooking up.
Yeah.
And she says in the opening episode she left her internship for, like, 2 weeks. But now she's coming back to, I guess, keep interning there. She, like, needs a recommendation from him, so she knows she, like, can't burn a bridge. But it's very clear that they've, like, had
sex.
Yeah,
they have that vibe. And also she's like, I needed to like process some things, and like she needed to have like, okay, if you have to leave your internship for 2 weeks,
a place where you're not getting paid, if you're like, God, this sucks so much, this thing I do for free, and I've got to get out of here to like process it,
then don't come back.
Never come back.
Like,
if you're doing something for free and it's not fun and causing you stress and pain, stop doing it.
Yeah.
Period.
Even if they didn't fuck and she's just traumatized by his like emotional abuse as a boss, like, you have an option and it's called not doing that internship.
Yeah, leave.
But she likes pain.
Yeah.
But she now has like a beefy boyfriend who's hot.
A beefy boyfriend who's just like a bodybuilder.
Mm-hmm. And she's like little and it's like,
yeah, hey. She's little and like obsessed with him.
Mm-hmm.
She's like the kind of like, you know the couples.
She's like Hayden Panettiere with her like 8 foot tall
Vladimir Klitschko.
Who they're not, I don't think they're married anymore.
No, Vlad's like back in Russia, where the fuck he came from. Ukraine? I don't know.
Romania. Macedonia. So
Eli Klein is a monster, and you know this because he tells Liz to get him a coffee and he wants it with skim milk and 2 equals, which like, show me someone that, I mean, I'm a Splenda girl and I fully embrace that. But like, equal to me is
the devil.
Psychotic. Like, show me a person that willingly puts equal in their coffee and I'll show you a person that has no soul.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The weather's getting warmer, so it's time to say goodbye to my jackets and sweaters and hello to shorts and tees. I wanted to update my wardrobe for the long haul summertime without spending a fortune. Luckily, I found Quince. Now I've got a lineup of timeless pieces that keep me looking effortlessly chic and comfy year after year.
Quince has it all, like premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30, washable silk tops, timeless 14-karat gold jewelry, and so much more.
The best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us.
And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. I love that.
As you know, I've been on my fitness journey in 2024, so I'm getting into athleisure wear a lot. I have Quince long sleeve shirts, shorts, t-shirts. I wear it to the gym. I wear it out. I wear it to Whole Foods. I wear it to 7-Eleven to buy my Diet Cokes. I'm wearing it all over town.
And people are noticing.
People are fucking noticing.
Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/sexyunique for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/sexyunique to get free shipping and 365-day returns.
quince.com/sexyunique.
A new quarter brings new goals, but what about your skincare goals? Small, easy changes in your routine can have amazing results, and your secret weapon should be Dime Beauty.
Dime Beauty is clean, high-end skincare that is affordable, and it really works. Dime didn't sacrifice performance just to make it clean, either. And when I say clean, Dime is 100% transparent about every single ingredient, so you can use their products daily with confidence. I have been using Dime Beauty's TBT cream and their Dewy Daily Cream. TBT cream is a retinol alternative that I put on at night before I go to bed, and it's actually been making my skin look glowy and snatched, if I do say so myself.
I've noticed that, and I think our listeners have noticed too, because I've been picking up on a bunch of TikTok comments that have been like, you're glowing recently. So hats off to Dime. No one has time to remember the order of a 10-step skincare routine. The Work System from Dime Beauty has everything you need in one powerful package. It includes a gentle cleanser, a toner, two incredible serums, and two luxurious moisturizers.
Plus, my favorite, Dime's TBT cream, is finally back in stock. Check that out while you're there.
Dime has over 2 million happy customers, and their product reviews are literally all 5 stars. This year, love your skin again. Go to dimebeautyco.com now and unlock your discount. That's dimebeautyco.com.
We also see Liz at the internship, and she's like, I will not. He's like, oh, I'm going to need you to help this guy move some of this stuff into the back of the gallery. And she says,
she's like, my dad is a huge collector, and I know Eli wants to meet my dad. And so if I tell my dad that, like, Eli is making me do shit that I don't want to do, my dad's going to be mad.
So you find it, she goes, I would prefer, she literally goes, I would prefer to, like, be in a chair. And he's like, okay. And she's like, it's pretty much how it goes in my life. Like, if I don't want to do something, I'll just, like, mention my dad.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, so you get a glimpse into how this girl has lived her life, which is
cool,
really
great,
dark.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Good for you.
She's like, preference to be sitting at a desk and answering phone calls. I was like,
she, like, refuses to, like, they're like, please spackle some holes in the wall. She's like, is this what it's going to be like to her boss? Is this what it's going to be like every day? Like, I have to, like, do shit like this.
Yeah.
Wild. Can you imagine going to work and saying that? As an intern, I was literally, my whole MO was like, is there anything I can do for you right now? Like,
yeah,
let me know what it is. I would do anything anyone ever told me to do.
You're supposed to be like, if you don't have work, find work.
Yeah,
I'll spackle something. Like,
I
went and got a
stellar intern.
I went and got a Wii Fit.
Yeah.
Like, you do shit.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to spackle, no one is too good to spackle.
No.
Liz.
When you're working for free or at the bottom of the totem pole, your goal is to get people to like you and think that you're a good worker.
I love that. No, I'm not going to do that.
Mm.
He was like, okay.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Anywho, Eli is having an art opening to showcase a new artist.
He refers to his artist as his stable.
And he only keeps 7 in at a time.
Yeah, because he likes to really put a lot into them.
And so he invites all the girls to come to his art opening, which is wild to me watching this again, that, like, Eli is a character on the show.
Yeah, he's, like, so just, like,
he's in this show.
He's, like, kind of garbage.
Yeah. He's, like, an older man.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what, in his 30s or 40s?
It's kind of like Selling Sunset with the Oppenheim twins.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, they're on the show.
He's in, I would say, late 30s, early 40s.
Yeah.
And then all these girls around him are in their early 20s. And he's the only male on the show.
He probably has no guy friends.
I don't know what his life is like. He disgusts me to look at.
He only hangs out with, like, young women. Because he likes to, like,
fuck with them.
And women that are, like, in, that are, like, working for him. I feel like
he hires like cute girls to, like, do work and, like, flirt with at the office.
It's weird.
It's weird. It's very, like, Me Too.
Yeah. So we we head to, do we go back to Claudia and Chantal?
We go to, well, Maggie and her boyfriend at the opening, and I think she introduces her boyfriend to Eli for the first time. So Maggie's back out of her 2-week hiatus,
yeah,
and she's back with like a new boyfriend, which I think you can tell like Eli is a little surprised at.
Yeah. Yeah, he seems a little like miffed by it. But yeah, she comes with Liz. Well, no, first
Maggie gets there. Chantal and the girls get there. And Maggie doesn't like Chantal because it cuts to them hanging out at like a dinner party in Brooklyn.
6 months prior.
Yeah. And she says that when she met Chantal, Chantal made everyone do slap shots, which is where you take a shot and then someone slaps you in the face.
I didn't know that was a thing.
I've never heard of that.
I mean, pickleback.
But I love that.
I've taken like pickleback shots. But
yeah,
like,
but not like a slap shot.
And Chantal was just like,
Chantal's the kind of person that just like smile, like she's chaotic evil. Mm-hmm. Like she smiles and asks you what's wrong and knows exactly what's wrong and delights in your like internal terror. Yeah.
She would toss like wine in your face and then be like, what's wrong with your face?
Mm-hmm.
What did you do that for? Like she's that kind of person. Like, are you okay?
Yeah.
Like unpredictable,
like
evil.
Spill wine all over your brand new white dress and then be like, are you upset?
Yeah.
And then kind of smile. She baits you with a smile and then watches you self-immolate and gets like ultimate pleasure out of it.
She's like,
which is amazing,
really?
Like form of mean girlness.
I
love it.
She's like, oh, you're really upset.
Yeah.
So they all converge at this place. I think, don't we cut to Angela and first we cut to Angela and Dave?
Well, then Angela's there. Eli invites everyone. Angela's there and they meet all the like Brooklyn girls meet
the Manhattan girls.
The Manhattan girls. They meet Liz, who I keep wanting to call Jill.
She looks like a Jill.
She looks like a Jill. So she and Angela meet, and Angela shades her from like, for like looking like she's from Orange County.
Because
Liz is like, I live there for 3 years. I love it there. And Angela's like, yeah, you look like you love it there. And then all the end of century girls laugh and laugh at basic Liz.
And then 2 minutes later, Angela goes, remember when I said that thing to her? Like,
and they all laugh.
And they all laugh again. And then Liz goes over to Maggie and she's like,
she's like, this sucks.
She was like, they were like laughing at me like when I was and then they're like divided in that way. And then Amy comes over to Liz and is like, oh my God, you look so beautiful. Oh my God, you're amazing. And Liz says, which I kind of love. Liz is like, Amy just came up to me and started kissing my ass. And she does that with everyone. She literally will just tell everyone they look so good.
Yeah. So Amy is desperate to be accepted by people. So yeah, you'll see her just like furiously complimenting and like, there's a really sad scene where she brings like cupcakes to Liz at work. And it's just like, it's tragic.
Yeah. Liz is not here for Amy. She knows.
She's known Amy since they were little, like since they were 5 or something.
She's probably been that girl, like, you know, those kind of friends that have been together for.
Yeah.
And like,
or they just know each other, their families do. And it's like, be nice to Amy. Okay. Like, you have to hang out with her a few times. And Liz is like, ugh, fine.
Yeah. My parents made me better.
Yeah. And so Liz, then Eli invites all the girls to like go to a dinner afterwards at this like nice Chinese restaurant. And Chantal is like, I would rather kill myself. And so she,
oh my God, that voice.
Yeah.
She goes, I would literally rather kill myself.
Plus, I have to think about my image. And so she's just like not going, which
she
I love.
Saunters off into the
Chantal
night.
Chantal has boundaries.
She does.
And that's why she's so successful.
I will not be going to that dinner.
So she leaves and then the other Brooklyn girls like go with her.
Yeah.
You're not going to like cross Chantal.
No. Also, at one point, Angela says, I love banter. Which is great.
She goes on a date with that Aussie photographer, which then she spends the whole date being like, this is not a date. It's not a date. And they like talk and laugh. And then she admits she loves banter.
And then he's like, I'm paying for you because this is a date. And she's like, okay.
But then he has no money.
And then she goes, oh my God, you don't have cash. He doesn't have cash.
So he goes to get cash, and then she's like, well, he actually didn't pay for me, but it's fine because it wasn't a date. So I can't tell if she likes him or if she's just like humoring him.
I think she's humored by him.
Yeah. And probably she like wants to keep him in her pocket because he's a photographer and she's a model.
And she's like, Australian guys are cute. Like, I think she just...
He's cute.
Yeah, he's really cute. I think she's just like... He looks like he has a big dick.
Yeah, he has big dick energy.
Like, big Aussie uncut dick.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like... She's down to clown, like, but she's not going to give it up.
Yeah.
Because she's like, I don't need him.
Yeah.
Because she's hotter than he is.
She's way hotter than she is.
And she knows that. But like, he is nice to her. And she's kind of like, I'll keep him on the back burner.
Yeah. And also, it's like, it's definitely not a date if you're going to like a dumpling restaurant the first time. Like, that's not... He's like the kind of guy who does the bare minimum in order to like fuck.
Yeah.
Like later on when they meet up with each other, he's like, do you want to hang out later? It's already like 11 p.m.
She gave a great response. She goes, yeah, like next week. And he goes, not like next week, like later. Like
later, like, tonight.
I thought that was great that she said that.
Yeah, that was a good shutdown.
Yeah, it was.
He's like basically like, do you want to come over and fuck me tonight?
And she's like, no.
No.
I'm taking photos.
Yeah.
But at this dinner, it's really embarrassing because Liz is sitting with Amy and Maggie and their boyfriends, and Amy gets really drunk, and Liz is like, when she gets drunk, she's fucking embarrassing.
Yeah. And then Amy proceeds to tell everyone that she dated Eli,
and
so
she goes,
he fully is like fucking
all of them. But at one point, and then she says, and in such a way that I was like, oh, this is like one of those things you say when you're drunk and you don't mean.
Mm-hmm.
She goes, I think I like him.
Yeah. She goes, I think we like have, like, he looks at me sometimes and I think he's like into me.
And I think I like him.
Yeah.
And everyone just, and Liz is like, Amy, shut up.
Maggie then laughs. Is like, laughs and like cuddles into her boyfriend. And then it cuts to her like talking head. And she's like, I don't think that like Eli would fuck Amy, but I don't
she's
know
jealous.
Like, what he does. Fully jealous.
Mm-hmm.
And then.
It was weird.
It was really, really
but
weird.
Amy was blackout.
Yeah, she was like 30 glasses of wine deep. She's like a mom.
She is.
She's like has a real mom energy, like a 45-year-old mom.
She's like that desperate
with a teenage son. She's like a mom uh-huh. with a teenage son that she like can't control and like doesn't feel very connected to anymore, but like loved so much.
Yeah, and she's also like trying really hard to be like with the cool moms at the PTA, and like they don't. Liz is like the queen of the PTA, and she's like, I don't approve.
So then. The next day is the day where End of Century is going to have their opening party.
Yeah.
And Claudia, Chantal, and Lara are walking down
the street.
I'm sorry,
just really fast. I cannot get over how stupid that name is.
Chantal?
End of Century.
End of Century.
I hate it.
You hate it.
I
EOC.
Really,
the
I really
EOC
don't like
girls.
It. We're the EOC girls. We're the Century girls.
End of Century.
End of Century. Ever heard of it?
End of Century is such a store, boutique, art gallery name.
It's in the Bowery. It's in the Bowery. It's in the
Lower
Bowery.
Lower East Side.
It's in the Bowery. It's in the Bowery. Like, I just see them saying, like, it's, like, below the Bowery in the LES.
Which also, what is the Lower East Side now? It's not, like, great, right?
It's still really expensive.
It's expensive and, like, it's corporate now.
We're on Hester Street.
It used to be, like, edgy, like, Lou Reed.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's just like Target.
There's still some like edgy areas, but it's definitely like getting.
I feel like the Village is forever like where you want to be. Like
it's
the best. Feels like quaint and cute.
It's so beautiful.
And like charming and old. And like, but in like a great, charming, cutie pie always way.
Lower East Side is like a skinny white person taking a bottle of like empty vodka and just going psh! On the ground.
Yeah.
And being like, whoa.
Yeah. And like lighting a cigarette and then just like sauntering off and like maybe skate, like hopping on a skateboard.
I knew this. There was this hot, I worked with this hot gay guy who lived in the Lower East Side when I worked at the Standard. And he always walked around with like one of those blue IKEA bags.
Oh, God.
As like his main, like,
his main bag.
And he was just
a huge blue IKEA.
Uh-huh.
It was a huge.
Was
those
huge.
Bags are huge.
He was like
he's like Doty leaving Sandoval's apartment when she had to move her stuff out.
But I was always like, wow, he's a real Lower East Sider.
Because of that bag. Mm-hmm. The Lower East Side's all about like repurposing your trash and making it fashion.
Exactly.
So Angela, or so Claudia, Chantal, and Lara are like strutting down the street. Claudia is like having a conniption, and Chantal is wearing a floppy, wide-brimmed hat that obscures her entire face except for her mouth.
She looks like Carmen Sandiego.
Yeah, she's like gothic. She's like goth Carmen Sandiego. And then Claudia's like wheezing, like having a panic attack. And then Chantal just goes, "Are you okay, Claude?" And like smiles. And you know that what's about to happen.
Claude.
Yeah.
So Claudia's like, I'm freaking out because a lot's at stake for me here. And I feel like I'm doing all the work and like, I'm the only one taking our finances seriously.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, right?
Yeah. She's like, my parents like gave us like all this money to start the store. And I just feel like it's all on my shoulders to like make it a success and like repay them. And you guys just like don't have the same investment as I do.
And Chantal says something like, well, we get the fashion people involved. And like, if there's a difference in what we're supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
And like, you just have to like understand our roles.
Yeah. And they go to coffee, and then like Chantal and Claudia have their first fight. Lara is still like kind of tuned out, like doesn't really pipe up at all. She's kind of like Chantal's lackey.
She's a sub for Chantal.
Yeah.
And
I was like, how is Chantal alive? And I feel like it's like she's like sucking Lara's blood.
Yeah. She's like, her hair's thinning.
She's like, give me an arm. Yeah. Like, and then Lara like holds her arm out, and Chantal gets like a big gulp, and then she's like has a little more power again. Uh-huh.
She's like the mummy.
Yeah, it's very like True Blood.
Mm-hmm. So Claudia is like how I would be. Just
yeah.
Like, oh my God, like we're going to sink. Mm-hmm. And Chantal's like, why are you getting so stressed about it? I love that. You okay?
You okay, Claude?
You okay, Claude?
And she's clearly not okay.
Her wide brimmed hat and like her little like,
it's just her little witch mouth.
Her little dimples. You okay, Claude? No, I'm not okay.
Baiting you to say like, to like bleed out.
Mm-hmm.
And then like laughing at your pain.
Yeah.
Slightly like smirking at your pain.
Yeah.
Chantal's like, doesn't care if this doesn't work out or not. Like,
oh no.
It's truly just like whatever.
Chantal's like ready to just like do the next thing if this doesn't work out. Like she does not care. Lara is wearing a great coat.
You screamed out loud Lara's sweater when she walked by. She's wearing like a tribal.
Uh-huh. It looked like something you've seen like a ski chalet.
It's like a Pendleton.
Uh-huh.
Coat.
And at one point, and Claudia's like, aren't you guys freaking out? They're standing on, I think they're on like Houston or something, and like dropping all these names. I think they're like
a real New
Yorker. Right near the Manhattan Bridge, and Claudia's just like, oh my God, like we have a lot at stake here, and I feel like we're not being as serious as we should be. And they're silent for a minute, and then Lara goes, feels like it's gonna snow. And then they just keep walking.
So their MO is just like gaslight Claudia, like drive her to madness, and then just like laugh and move on.
Yeah. They just want like, these are the kind of people
they just
like,
want like a store.
They want a project.
Like, yeah.
They
like want to somewhere tell people, to go every day.
Yeah. They're like, they like to tell people like, oh, I'm like doing this.
Yeah. Like I have a store.
I have a store opening.
They can like go like meet with like buyer or like fashion people.
Uh-huh.
And it's like buying your way into like a career.
Yeah. It's like a good, and like their parents are like, what are you doing in New York? Like, how's it going? They're like, oh, I have that store.
Yeah. The store is going well. Like I met with like a sweater maker and like ordered some sweaters. Like the stores like that make like $300 of sales a day.
Yeah.
Like, if even that, they might sell like a bangle.
Yeah.
And then that's it. Like no one is walking into that store and buying like a big piece of art for like $5,000. Like nice try, but
nice try.
No, that's also not where those kinds of shoppers shop.
No. And it's a good concept, but it's too, you have to like earn your way to that point. You
and
can't,
it's like gritty. Like it's like no one, like people that like gritty stuff they're not big spenders.
No.
Like if you want to do that, you should do it in like Soho or somewhere.
Yeah. Anyway.
Anyways, you okay, Claude?
I love that. You okay, Claude? Cut to her, just her mouth. She just, at this point, is like a mouth.
Yeah.
She's a talking mouth.
She's a little witch smile.
If that makes any sense.
She's a talking mouth. Just a red lipstick.
Just like disembodied mouth.
Yeah. That's always kind of smirking at you.
You okay, Claude?
It's like me if I'm having like an anxiety attack like at home and I'm just like, oh my God, like I have to get all this shit together. Like, ugh. And then a little mouth pops up and goes, you okay, Lar? And it's like, no, I'm not fucking okay.
You okay, Kara?
You okay, Kara?
Everything okay over there, Kara?
Mm-hmm.
I've known people like that. It sees you in your worst, your
lowest moment. And then it's like just a kind check-in.
I know people like that.
Yeah.
You okay, Kara?
That they know absolutely you're not okay.
Kara, you okay?
You okay?
No, I'm not.
Kara, you okay?
Lar?
You okay, Kara?
Lar, are you okay over there?
No!
No, I'm not!
No, I'm fucking not okay!
Fuck you!
Fuck off!
Everyone fuck themselves! We're all Claudia.
We're all Claudia. And like society is Chantal being like, you okay? Every time you open Instagram, it's Chantal being like, you her okay, mouth, Kara?
Her mouth pops up in your screen, and that, and there's like the little bit of the
just a hat,
just a hat and silhouette. Then,
you okay, Kara?
You okay, Kara?
You're like, no,
no,
I want to die.
You click on another picture, and it goes, how about now?
What do you think of that?
What do you think of that, Kara?
Do you like this photo? Do you really like it?
Are you liking it because you're insecure and you feel like you have to? Or do you really like it,
Kara?
Or do
you really actually like it?
Because don't like something if you don't actually... Like, she makes you question everything.
Mm-hmm.
Don't like something if you don't actually like it,
Kara. Undermining you always.
Ooh, saw that. You returned to that photo.
Mm.
Wow.
Oh, you're going to look at her profile now?
You're going to go back to his profile? You've already been there twice today.
You watch that story a few times in a row.
Seems like you're checking in on this person, Kara.
You okay, Kara?
You okay? Should we unpack this, Kara?
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
Mm.
Oh, you scrolled really... Oh,
you're
really...
checking your own likes.
Wow.
Don't worry about that. I'm sure the next photo will get more.
Are you seeing how many... Oh, my God, you are. You're seeing how many people viewed your story, Kara.
Oh, Kara. It looks like it's a lower number than usual. Are you okay?
How does that make you feel, Kara?
That doesn't bother you, does it?
We can talk about it if you want, Kara. Ooh.
Gotta go.
Bye, Kara.
Bye. See ya. See you around. There's a really good book that I read called The Underminer, and it is all from the perspective of someone that's kind of a Chantal type of character who's interacting with you, the reader, and they're just like, oh my God, like, you look amazing. Like, you've definitely lost weight. Not that you were like hugely chubby or anything, but you know, it's like a big improvement. Anyways, like talking about their life, but it's just like they're fully Chantaling you the entire length of the book.
Oh my God.
And you find out like what's going on with you via these interactions that you have with the Underminer. It's so good. Wow. I highly recommend, if you want like a really lol, fucked up book to read that makes you...
They should make that a movie.
It's hilarious.
Wow. I'm going to read it.
Read it. You would love it.
The Underminer.
The Underminer. You've got to check it out. You've got to go to the library. Go in the library cards. Find them. Find the one that you like. Get it, then go walk down the aisle and go, what a history.
Wow. What a history.
I'm checking this out.
Wow.
I miss Dale.
Wow. What a history.
Wow.
Her Instagrams are wild, by the way.
Yeah, she's Dale always is posting a star. Like,
who'd have thought Tinsley would grow up to be what she is? Here back when she was a little girl and she had no concept of being a real housewife, just a housewife at age like 2.
Who knew Tinsley would be so dependent on man?
Who knew Tinsley would have...
I certainly didn't. I thought she would stay married to Topper forever, but we all know how that worked out.
Who knew this little girl would grow up to cry at a circus? Speaking of, we go back to...
Carrie's... Carrie used Eli's party as like a networking opportunity.
She meets someone named...
Sharon
Horowitz, and she's like,
Sharon is dripping in Chanel,
amazing.
She's like fully like
petite,
the petite power player art lady that we all need yearn to be And like we all need a Sharon in our life. Like,
vintage Chanel.
Vintage Chanel or Chanel couture everything.
Yeah.
She's wearing like crazy couture clothes the entire season.
Yeah.
She is giving you fashion at every turn, but in just like a... Like, this is just her life. Like, every day she wakes up and, like, goes to her amazing closet and pulls something out. And it's, like, not even a big deal to her kind of, like, style.
Carrie's, like, I'm looking to get into boutique hotels and picking the art for it. And, like, I really would love an internship. And Sharon's impressed by her. She's yeah. like, wow, you're ballsy. You just showed up to this random thing. Like, you're just, you knew, you can tell that Sharon's like, I like you.
Yeah. Carrie's a hustler. Yeah.
She's a total hustler.
And Sharon's intrigued. So she invites Carrie to, like, stop by the office and like chat
and like maybe shadow.
Maybe she'll like get an internship or whatever.
So it's a successful night for Kara.
Yeah. So Kara comes in to meet Sharon and like interview for her internship.
She's
position.
wearing a mink. And like a very, what kind of skirt was that?
Like she's wearing like a leather dress, skirt with like, then she takes off the mink and underneath, this is the craziest thing that Carrie's ever done, is underneath her mink coat, she's wearing like a furry vest, like a feathery vest.
Which that was like, an era, that was a moment back then.
A feathery vest.
Uh-huh.
I never had one. But like
a short vest that only covered the top part of your like chest that yeah. girls would wear. I was like,
what like, is this? Like, I've never understood a vest. I'm like, why would I want to look thicker in my trunk area?
Yeah, it's like football shoulder pads.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, is this like...
Does not compute.
Maleficent football? Like, what the fuck?
I'm like, yeah, I'm not trying to look like a fucking linebacker. Thanks, though. I put on like a vest or something puffy like that. I literally look like a bodybuilder. Not that there's anything wrong with bodybuilding, it's not the what I'm looking
not
for.
Journey.
Not my journey, not my aesthetic.
I love a vest.
You love a vest?
I wore a vest.
I've never even seen you in a vest.
That's because I quickly learned, not in LA. I wore a vest the first night I was here. And
did you wear like a what? Like a puffy vest?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. I think I have seen you in a vest now.
I think
like,
you have.
I feel like you were wearing a vest the first night we met.
Probably.
You love a puffy vest.
Back in New York?
You're a bro at heart.
I know.
You're kind of like a tech bro.
Oh, I'm like...
No, you're cooler than that. You're like a lacrosse.
Mm-hmm.
East Coast.
Yeah, like I have a little bit of like prep.
Mm-hmm.
Just from my... it was hard to like move out of that.
Yeah.
Not that there's anything wrong with it. Sometimes I still have some prep.
You get
me.
Preppy.
But
you love a preppy moment.
Mm-hmm. But not like a... For a while, that was my style just because my mom bought all my clothes. So it was like... She wouldn't let me. Your mom used to,
I love a vest on my son. Like, I goes and gets you, like, all your vests. And she's like, put your vest on.
I love a vest.
I love a vest.
My mom loves me in, like, an XXL, like, button-down polo shirt. Like, with, like, stripes.
And, like, loafers.
She knows... She has...
Does she like you to wear khakis?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She loves... Like, my mom has great taste. Mm-hmm. And she can dress herself to the nines, but she doesn't know how to dress... She knows how to dress my dad. But, like, now...
She struggles
she
with
how,
you.
She doesn't know what to do with me.
That's interesting. You would think that she would have the most fun dressing you.
Well... Yeah, I think because now she's like, oh, you know, how do I dress up my 30-year-old gay son? You know,
yeah.
Like she can't really make her mind up of like where she wants me to wear. Like my sister sometimes will be like, mom, like my mom's like, she likes to send me things. My sister will be like, mom, no, like, do not send him that.
Khakis, loafers, and a sensibly oversized like, polo shirt.
Like now I dress myself and I like, I can pick out like.
You do a great job.
Thank you. But like when I was home recently, like my mom took me to Zara and that was like, I was like, wow, mom.
Oh, that's edgy.
Edgy for Dorothy. She's like, I thought we'd try Zara.
Oh, well, I
and
do
then,
declare.
You know what my mom said to me?
What?
Which is a quote of a lifetime. She goes, I mean, it's Zara. You never know.
That's true.
You never know what you're going to get with Zara.
You never know what you're going to get.
And I was like, that's fucking true.
Zara is one of the most triggering like shopping experiences for me because I feel like whenever I go there, I like load up my dressing room with like 50 things and then I try them on and I'm like, why am I like a size 20 here? Like, what's going on? Like, everywhere else, I'm like a medium. And Zara, I'm like an extra large. They're like, you came to the wrong place to feel cute today. And they're like,
yeah, the shirts are like
sizing clean. Is so weird. Like, I'll put on a large and it'll be like tight at the armpits. And I'm like, am I like literally, did I like grow? Do I have a crazy body? It makes me feel like I have a crazy undressable body type.
Yeah, I feel like that too. And I'm wearing like even J. Crew stuff now. Like, everything's really like slim on the guys.
Yeah.
And I feel like one of those people that, like, you know, when they like train attack dogs, mm-hmm. and they like have you wear like,
you like wear a big fat like like sheepskin on your arm, like a leather thing.
I just feel like large. Like, I'm just like, oh, like when I'm wearing like when I'm trying on like a J. Crew shirt, it's like, hey, like, yeah. Is this for like a 9-year-old boy?
I'm literally like, feel like Tommy Boy, fat guy in a little coat when I go to Zara, where you're just like, Richard, what's happening? And like, that's like, I'm like about, like, if I flexed, I would just like hulk out of the clothes that I try on, which everywhere else in the world would be like my standard clothing size.
No.
But at Zara, it's like, they're like, we do things a little differently here.
We do things a little differently around here. But yeah, my mom was like, that was like a risque moment for Dorothy to take me to Zara.
You never know.
You never know at Zara.
I love her like clutching her pearls at Zara. There's a lot to like be at Zara about.
Yeah. But sometimes, I mean,
there's also a lot to love.
Lots of love. I was wearing a Zara shirt last night.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Anyways, that's Zara.
Chantel loves Zara.
That's the tea on Zara.
Chantel loves Zara.
Yeah. Chantel also has like,
sorry.
Remember that Colin Farrell movie that came out, the like, the director of The Lobster did it, and it was,
oh,
kind of
Yorgos.
Yeah, Yorgos did the movie.
Oh,
that was like
Sacred
a horror
Deer.
Movie. Yeah,
yeah.
Chantel has like Killing of a Sacred Deer tattoo on her spine.
Weird.
Like, if you look at it, it reminds me of like the cover art for that movie.
Oh, weird.
Take a look, see next time.
Take a look at her tattoo. So Carrie goes, she gets the job.
She gets the job, and Amy,
Sharon's like, love you.
Amy is freaking out internally.
We see Amy talking to Sharon's assistant, who's clearly like coming over to do like a wellness check. Because
mm-hmm.
Amy's been there for 2 years unpaid.
Yeah, unpaid, and it's just like the person that's like, she probably does most things wrong and is really annoying, but it's like, we need just like a servant that we mm-hmm. don't have to pay, and she'll like go get the coffee every morning.
She has like a bunch of jangly bracelets on, and she's like, the assistant's like, how are you doing? And she goes, oh, I'm just entering clients based on just like categorizing. And then you just see the assistant go, good. And then so Carrie comes over, and clearly Amy's like, she's like, judging her outfit.
This? Yeah. She's like, she looks like she came in for a job interview. It's like, I don't know if she came from the nightclub or what.
Yeah, I was like,
she's
cool.
Like clutching her pearls.
Yeah.
She's like fully a mom.
Yeah.
Like dresses like a mom.
Mm-hmm. So Carrie comes over and like literally sits at her desk with her. So now Amy has to share like a desk with
a cubicle
with this like brazen,
like Amazon mink
ambitious
wearing,
girl, like, you know.
Self-sufficient,
pays her own
hustler,
rent.
Hustler,
it's
yeah.
amazing. They paired them perfectly.
They paired them perfectly. And then Sharon's like, can you do this task for me? And like gives them some tasks to do. And you see Amy like trying to take charge and like putting her finger on the paper and like just slowly showing Carrie like all the names. And it's like, you realize then that Amy has no idea what she's doing at any given moment.
She just
points.
Yeah.
And like, looks at Carrie and just like points to the paper as though that's like gives her some sense of like authority.
She's like, you know, in A League of Their Own when the woman can't read and she's like looking down, she's dragging her finger down and like, and that's,
they're like, come on, girls, sit down. And then they're like, that's such an amazing scene.
I know.
Brings tears to my
Me
eyes.
Too.
That's literally, honey,
what's your name? And she's like, what does she call her? What's her name? Like Sugar something? Anyway. She's, there you are. You're a Rockford Peach, just like me.
And then she learns to read.
Yep.
She learns to read erotic fiction.
Madonna reads her fiction.
But she's reading, isn't she?
Creamy.
She's reading, ain't she?
Creamy white breasts.
I love A League of Their Own.
Best movie ever.
But
that reminded me of just she was just pointing aimlessly. Carrie's like, okay.
Carrie's like, literally, we just like make an Excel spreadsheet.
Yeah,
like,
I got this.
Yeah.
Carrie's like, I manage hotels. Like,
Carrie's like, I have a job, like a real job. Like, this is something I'm doing, like, to see if I might want to do this. Amy's like,
I pay water bills.
Yeah.
So that's a great meshing. And then we go to.
Also, Amy gets her eyelashes done.
Amy goes in for an hour, like an hour long eyelash
extension appointment.
And she literally has to wear like, she goes, I have a fear of needles and tape.
Because they tape your eyes closed and they like put tape under your eyes when you get eyelash extensions. And like, it's a very like long process, but kind of is nice because it's like little soft tickles on your eyelids for an hour.
Yeah.
And Amy like can't handle it. She has to like, the like eyelash technician has to like hold her hand through the whole thing. She's like crying out of one, like tears are coming out of one side, and she's like, I'm like the worst person to do that, like I want to kill myself right now, like it's just like freaking out.
And that was
this is when Bravo used to do those little like have commercial breaks and they'd come back for like a minute long,
like, ooh, look at this kooky interlude little,
yeah, like kooky a kooky little moment, and then they'd like go back to commercials. So it was just so they could just cram in like 7 minutes of commercials in the middle of your show.
They still do that sometimes,
but it not as much as like their
yeah
you know what I mean.
I know what you're talking about. So then we go back to
Maggie.
Okay, this is dark. So Maggie goes to Eli's gallery where now Liz is the intern.
Yeah.
He comes in and he totally has that like dominance thing over her. And he's like, what's up, Maggie? And she's like looking down. She was always playing with her hair. She's like stammering. And she's like, I just want to say thank you for inviting me to dinner the other night. And
I just wanted to talk to you like about
to you. She's like fiddling her hair and like Liz is looking at her like nose ring is gleaming in the light, and Eli's like, what do you want to say? He's like, what are you trying to ask me right now?
She's like, I'm not trying to like ask you anything. Well, you want to come back and like intern here? And she's like, I mean,
I'm not asking you, I'm telling you that I'm going to finish out my internship and I want to complete it.
And he's like, you did complete it, right? Or have you like?
He's like, don't all the
intern finish out your 30 days. Have you worked 30 days here? And it's like he knows that she has worked for months and months, and she's like, I've worked here since college. Like
she whispers.
She whispers in like an ashamed tone with tears in her eyes, and this is the most uncomfortable I've been in a long time. Like watching and reality like
Liz is just, of course, because Liz
is staring and judging and knows that like. The levels of like privilege and like hierarchy in this situation are really fascinating because it's like Eli's never going to come on to Liz because her dad's a billionaire and he just like wants business. Liz can basically do whatever she wants.
Yeah.
Liz could be like, fuck you, Eli, go fist yourself. And he'd be like, okay, cool, I'll be right back.
Yeah.
Like Liz is like now knows that Maggie and Eli have some weird fucking dynamic going on.
So it's even more power to her.
Yeah, judging Maggie for it.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, just being like smug that she's like working at this like maybe chic gallery, getting to like not have to do brunt work, like has a bougie internship where no one's ever going to harass her. She sees Maggie and feels like a sense of smugness that she'll never be in Maggie's position. Yeah.
And so,
that's like extra shameful for Maggie, who has to like humble herself and have this conversation in front of this other girl that's like her contemporary.
And Eli
is the mastermind behind this whole game.
He is.
Who gets like the ultimate power, like jizz in his pants from like orchestrating this like sick,
he loves to come in his pants.
Yeah. He has ejaculated 5 times over the course of this conversation.
So Maggie
leaves afterwards. He's like, I'll be right back. He's going to the bathroom to go clean up all his cum stains.
his art gallery.
His puddles of jizz that are bathroom. Pooling into his loafers.
Oh my God.
Sorry.
So Maggie's like,
So Maggie like begs for an internship, which is the lowest.
He's like, so I'll see you tomorrow. And she's like, yeah. And she goes, bye. And he goes, see you later. And then he goes, I gotta take a break.
So he's like, yeah, gonna either go jerk off some more or like clean up his cum.
He's gonna go in the restroom and like take all the paper towels and wet them and just like wipe down his like boxers.
Yeah.
He wears boxers.
He definitely wears boxers.
And Liz is like, all right, I'll be out here not doing any work.
Yeah. She like gets on like
AOL.
AOL.
Even though it was 2012.
She logs on to IM and she's like, oh my God, Maggie and Eli are totally fucking. Like goes and just like gossip.
She goes on her Facebook and like makes a status that just says, update. This girl Maggie and this guy Eli and this guy,
they're fucking.
No it's context, gross.
Yeah,
nothing. And everyone's like, who?
They're fucking and it's insane. Then she like goes and like buys something online.
Yeah,
she's like, can I ship it to the gallery? He's like, sure.
She's like, I want to buy this like pot.
Yeah,
for the like for a plant. And he's like, okay. And she's like, I want to put it over there. And he's like, sure.
Yeah.
She's like, cool, it's $10,000. And he's like, all right, cool.
Liz is running the show.
Mm-hmm. So then we cut to the big night.
Big night for EOC.
We cut to Angela.
Angela's getting ready. She is like enjoying life.
She has this like one bedroom that she's paying for herself.
With her modeling career.
And she's going to go topless with like a sheer...
She's all black, sheer top with pasties over her nipples.
She's a gaggle of gays who are like all like super like grungy, like cool
Brooklyn gays. Yeah.
I think we recognize one of them.
We recognize one of them and I was like, I've met this person before.
Me too.
I was like, this guy looks so familiar. I've definitely met him. And Carrie was like, I have too.
Yeah, we both have.
So like, we're both like... Okay.
Cool.
Love that. We're so in.
They're kind of like her glam squad.
One is doing her makeup. The other one's like applying the pasties to her tit. And then the other one's just like, you're a man eater. That's what you do. You eat men. It's amazing.
Like, and they talk about like her fat pussy or something.
They're getting ready to go. And then they're like, your pussy is like not like fat and weird. Like it's fat, but it's not fat and weird. Not like Britney Spears. I think she showed them the photo of the flower in her pussy the artist took.
And she's like, thanks, photographer, guys.
And she's like, thanks. And someone's like, I hope our cab driver is fucking hot.
And they just leave.
They leave. And with the whole crew, film crew, like in her apartment still.
Just a ton of blow they just did.
Yeah.
And then
they head over to the Lower East Side.
Where EOC is opening. Chantal, the gals all getting ready. Claudia's nervous as hell. It seems like a lively opening.
It seems like pretty packed. They hired
Chantel's
a band.
Chantel's like meek boyfriend is there.
Spencer. She's like Spencer's cleaning the windows.
Some kind of like ripoff of the band Au Revoir Simone is playing on keyboards. It's like...
And like two like electric guitars.
It's like the Rodart sisters are just like playing at the show.
It's the kind of band where like the girls are playing like really cool electric guitars but looking really bored during it. I love like a bored band.
And they're just like doing that and they're just like
eyes rolling back into the back of their head, just like basically asleep but managing to play music.
And they're wearing like old-fashioned gowns,
like slip dresses. They're all like rail thin.
They all look like they're in Picnic at Hanging Rock. They're all just like
with like tomboy kind of hair that's like limp but still somehow really pretty.
And now they're all like, they live in like Westchester and like but
at this one shining moment their band got together to play the end of century opening.
Chantel's getting wasted.
Chantal is lit. I have a theory that she's rolling.
Oh, we think...
She and Lara popped a Molly.
They both are on ecstasy. Claudia rolling. Was like, no, I'm just good with Adderall.
Yeah, Claudia's taken like double the amount of Adderall she usually takes and is like stressing.
But there's like a lot of people there.
A lot of people show up.
Angela's taking photos.
Yeah, she's
party like fun. She's doing like kind of like misshapes photos where like people are like against the wall and like all that shit.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden... Liz
and Maggie.
They're now friends.
They both have boyfriends that look eerily similar. Liz's boyfriend was shocking to me because he looks much older than her.
Yeah, she's,
and he looks like he has like,
he's a boxer,
a distinct like Jersey vibe.
He looks like,
but
a,
not in like a hot Jersey like Sopranos way, like
he looks like a Teamster.
Yeah,
like he's gonna come fuck you up.
Yeah. She's I feel like girls like her that are like, dad's a billionaire, like to date like guys like that.
Yeah.
For a minute, just to like work something out, and then they eventually like,
yeah, and then cue the song. You wanna live like common people. You wanna do like what common people do. So then they walk up and they're like, can't believe we're down here at the Lower East Side.
She's Maggie's like, it smells down.
Smells here. People are hipsters. Liz is like, I don't even know what a hipster is. Like, people with like glasses with no lenses. I was like, oh, really funny, Liz.
Yeah.
Good
like,
joke.
I can't explain what they are, but like,
you know, when you see them. It's like, cool joke.
Okay.
It's like everyone's Twitter joke in like 2012.
Yeah. You're right on trend with that one.
Right on brand. So they walk in and Liz is like, Liz wants to like, she was a little like pissed off at the Brooklyn girls for being kind of shady to her the other night. So she wants to go right up to Chantal.
Yeah, but she decided she's going to go anyways. And then she's going to stroll up to Chantal and be like, hey. So she approaches Chantal and she's like, hi. And then Chantal's like, hey, oh my God. And then Liz is like, we met the other night. Because Chantal's doing that thing where it's like, you know when you meet someone and like, then you meet them again and they are giving you the vibe that makes you think they're like, they don't remember you. Like you all interact with them and you're not sure if they are clocking that you've met before.
All the time.
I'm sure that I've probably been guilty of doing that with people, but it's truly like I sometimes don't remember.
Yeah, I did that. I did that once when I was like,
but then I feel so ashamed. I'm just like, oh my God, like I'm so mean.
I had that happen to me more when I was on drugs. Cause I literally just, my brain wasn't working, but yeah. I'm pretty good now, but that happens to me a lot, especially in LA.
Mm-hmm.
People are like, oh, hi. And you're like, yeah, we've...
I'm like, yeah, we hung out the other night. Like, yeah, I know. And then you're like, okay, well, you really hate me then, I guess.
Yeah, yeah, that's what Chantal does.
Yeah.
She doesn't like, shake her hand. Hi.
Hi. Yeah.
She's also drunk.
She's shit-faced.
Or maybe at that point, like, the role just started.
Yeah, it's she like, seems like has, like, a friendly-ish vibe. Like, more friendly than usual, which is just like kind of witch face, but like now she's like, yeah, I know, and then doesn't offer any more conversation.
And Liz goes, okay, and just turns around and she and Maggie start laughing.
Liz is like fully awkwarded out and she's like, they're being so rude, like we're leaving.
And they just leave.
And then they leave.
And then Chantal, and then the party really starts.
Then the party really ramps up and then Chantal like turns to Angela and she's like, I'm so upset that they came here. And Angela goes, why? And Chantal goes, because they're weird. And then like,
I love Angela. Why?
Angela is really good, I think.
Angela's like, wait, why are you like,
why?
Why are you like, let them do their thing.
Mm-hmm. Angela's the only person on the show that feels like really free.
Yeah. You know? Love that. Why?
Why? Because they're weird.
Because they're weird. And she's like, okay. And then she puts like a weird like black gauze over her face. Like,
yeah, she's wearing like a little like funeral hat.
A funeral, yeah, like
Chantal. And then she's giving like a one off, like it's not a talking head, it's like a survivor or like a pickup shot or whatever, where they're like, how do you feel about the party?
And she's like, it's like, going well. And she's like, if this doesn't work out, like my plan is to go to Key West, board a boat, and go to Cuba and like
chill
and just chill. Oh, there's Rita. Hi, Rita. And then
she's like, sorry, and then just like leaves.
Yeah. And then we go to Claudia and Claudia's like, I'm freaking out.
Yeah, Claudia's about to like sir herself.
She's like she's about to get down on all fours and die and have explosive diarrhea and just vomit everywhere. So then Chantal and Laura are like, everything's fine, it's chill, like we'll just have fun.
Yeah,
and
they're like dancing.
Claudia's like, we'll be here at 8 a.m. tomorrow, right?
Chantal's like, I fucking love you so much. And Laura's like, I love you so much. So that's when I turn to Gary. I was like, they're rolling. Chantal's and like, my plan tomorrow is to wake up at 8 a.m.
go to yoga,
do some yoga, and then come in and do some work.
She's like, yeah, I think if we all just get here by like 10. And Claudia like looks at her like, oh my God.
Like, what the fuck? This was the hugest mistake. This is the biggest mistake.
And then they like walk off into the night.
Yeah.
They leave their trash store and just like walk home.
Yeah.
And do more coke.
Oh, Chantal said that the reporter from the New York Observer there.
She goes, the reporter from the New York Observer was here. The reporter, like they only had one. Mm-hmm. And I think I intimidated him.
Love that for her.
And Angela's like,
Chantal is the kind of person that like lives in her own universe, but it's okay. Cause it's like, you can't really like, she's like going to be fine no matter what happens.
Yeah. She's always going to find people
she's, like,
to worship
her. She's completely unruffled and like.
People who are unfazed, I don't trust.
Yeah. There's one point where she's like, Claudia's freaking out and I don't know why I'm not freaking out, but I guess I just don't have the like stress gene.
And we were like, maybe you just don't.
Carrie's like, maybe she's a sociopath. I was like, yeah, probably.
Maybe you just don't have any genes.
Yeah. Maybe you're just like, maybe you're just like an avatar.
She's a sim.
She's a sim.
Mm-hmm. Claude, you okay?
You okay, Claude?
So that was the first episode.
Carrie was, you were darked out kind of by the end. You
I
were
was.
Sad or something. It wasn't, it's not like a gleeful watch.
No, it's kind of like a, we're going to get through this.
Yeah.
It's not like Lohan Beach. That was another kind of darkness. This was like.
That was like chaotic.
Maybe because I lived there and like I know, I feel like I like walked those same streets. So it's like, there's something about the darkness and like. Just
it's
a bunch
so
of, like,
adjacent.
Spooky girls in the dark. You know,
yeah.
It's like, I've been that. Or I've seen, you know, I've seen them. I've seen, like, Chantal clapping her way. Not her, but, like, clip-clopping her way down, like Bedford
you've
Avenue.
Been in the same bars with all
yeah.
of them. You know some of the same people that they know. And, like.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
But it's, like, it's not enjoyable.
Yeah. It's not like.
I'm addicted.
It's not like a Vanderpump Rules where you're just, like, glee. It's not like. Even Roni, where you're just like laughing,
but it's important.
But it's
I feel
important
like it's really like
necessary.
I think it's a necessary. I think I'm really happy we're recapping it because I feel like it's a real like we need to remember that
yeah.
this was a show.
Remember the 5th of November and also Gallery Girls
and also Gallery Ghouls.
Yeah, Gallery Ghouls.
They're total ghouls.
They're all yeah. Everyone is ghoulish in her own special way.
Wow, I'm ready.
Yeah.
I'm ready for this. I mean, the look forward on the season felt explosive. Like, I feel like shit's about to go down.
Weirdly, it's like...
Doesn't?
Things do, but they also don't. It's just like one of the... It's like a show where not a whole lot happens, but just like everyone sinks further into the character that they present in the pilot.
Mm. Amy's...
But in like a really like
yeah.
intense way.
Amy's gonna dark me out.
Amy is tough. She's a tough watch. I hope that she's doing great now. It seems like she is.
I already checked her Twitter.
She said her most recent tweet was like...
Full moon tonight from like 2015. Full moon tonight. Everyone must meditate. #
Yeah. I can't wait to do...
We should have one of them on.
We should. We should.
Maybe Angela. She'd probably do it.
Angela seems like a loller. We got to do a wellness check. Look into like where are they now?
Okay. Again,
we'll
no
need to
one
do that on a bonus episode.
Again, just
no tagging.
No tagging. No trolling. Do not find them and like, yeah.
Just don't blow it up.
I'm not trying to. I feel like I'm sounding like a teacher, but I'm. I just, we don't want to repeat. We want to be respectful. These are human beings. This was a long time ago. We're watching from afar.
We're watching from afar. And also when we refer to them, it's like more so talking about the characters on the show.
I know. I have no judgments about who they are now. Just put it out
there. And even if we like speculate, that's just comedy.
Yeah. All, yeah.
We're artists.
We're artists.
We're
just
artists,
like
and
Angela.
That's our art. Just like Ange.
Just like all these girls.
Yeah.
We're artists.
Artists in our own way.
I've struggled to come out as saying it, but
it makes
I am
me
an
cringe sometimes. But I have to be honest and say I'm an artist. And that's that. That's the tea.
Cut
on
to me
that.
Doing like topless.
You've one peck out with a long black wig.
It pasties on my tits.
I want you to recreate Angela's
all
her looks.
I will for for a special photo for the pod, I will.
You need to do just one Angela look.
Mm-hmm. No wig, just like this. Yeah.
You can do the like face paint, the ghostly kind of kabuki face paint, and then just cup one peck.
One tit.
Point the nipple towards the camera and turn.
Go like this.
Carrie's posing, pushing one tit. That face.
Also, I just can't. How did. Yeah. Just
what?
The fact that they can all support themselves. Or.
I want to know how Chantal supported herself.
She must come from money.
Yeah.
Or she's like one of those people that just like scams their friends and like lives off them.
Yeah. It's like, I'll do this for a while.
She's like homeless Heidi from High Maintenance.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, it's such a mystery. Like,
Gallery Girls definitely inspired High Maintenance.
Yeah, it's such a High Maintenance-esque show.
Also, this reminds me of a show, it was on MTV, I think, where they did some, it was an online show, web series called The Bedford Stop. Have you heard about this?
I feel like it's I watched an episode
it's
of
from
that.
Like 4 years ago, and yeah. It's like a gallery. We should do that next.
Okay.
It's like the a Bedford Gallery Girls. Stop.
But it was reality.
Yeah, it was like a group of girls in Williamsburg, and they just like don't have jobs.
Oh my god,
and
yes,
it's amazing. And my friend knew one of them.
That's a thing. Like, is like they're all like around.
It's crazy. Yeah, but
our generation is wild.
We are. We're pioneers.
What?
We're pioneers. Say what you will about these girls. They're brave to be on the show.
Yeah. That takes a lot of balls to be like, chutzpah to be like, sure, film me. I'm going to act like an entitled, like, psycho.
Film me in a bathtub talking to my daddy.
Yeah, I'm going to take a bath and talk to daddy. Do you want to film? What? Nunca. I feel like a production company was once like, we want to film you at the Grove. And I was like, no,
really?
Yeah, like it was just like that. I can't do it.
I would.
Now I would.
At the Grove?
Now I would.
Can they film us on the trolley at the Grove?
Can we have a live podcast live from the Grove?
Yeah, in that grassy knoll.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, we got to do that.
Okay, push for that. Tweet at the Grove.
Tweet at the Grove. Let Carrie and Lara pod. No, don't tell them because I don't want them to know we're there. We just have to like low key go there. And then when a security guard tries to chase us, we'll just like run into Nordstrom's and podcast from like the handbag section.
God, I love the Grove.
I fucking love the Grove. I love the Grove.
I love
the Grove.
Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for being here.
I'm so excited to be on this journey with you.
This is going to be an epic journey.
It is.
We're going to like fuel up in between because it's so epic. Like we both need to like take salad breaks or something.
For sure.
Get a little like lean protein in us.
Yeah,
do some stretches, some calisthenics, a couple jumping jacks, and then like hop back in. This ain't no high society where the episodes are 22 minutes.
It's an hour long descent. So I hope y'all are ready.
Yeah.
And thank you.
You can tweet us. At eCarrieO or at Lars
tweet,
Marie. You
tweet
can
me.
Insta tweet comment me. On our Instagrams.
And you can
write us emails. If you've witnessed this diarrhea explosion of
all fours.
Please.
If you've ever all four diarrhea.
Have you ever gotten so sick that you involuntarily threw up?
I think I have.
My dad did once. He ate a coney from Sonic, like a foot long chili dog. And my mom said on his last bite, he took his last bite and then was just like, and like right there. Like it wasn't even, he sirred.
I sirred in the cab. Other people like, tell us about your sir.
I've never sirred yet.
Everyone's due for a sir.
Everyone.
our bodies
are like the Grim Reaper. Your sir moment is right around the corner. When will it happen? Who knows?
When will it end?
Where's the applause?
Where's the laughter?
Where's the sir? So yeah, let's get on the case. I'm less concerned with like wellness checks on the Gallery Girls and more concerned with getting to the bottom of this sir lawsuit.
Yeah, let's give us your theories.
any lawyers like weigh in. I love my lawyer readers.
Yeah, I love when the attorneys weigh in.
I love getting like multiple emails from multiple attorneys. It feels important. So like weigh in and tell me, can you make up a fake lawsuit? Like, is there a way that this could be fake? You can just allege that like this happened without it really happening. Like, how is that even possible? Do you have to have proof?
And what is the blast?
Yeah, what is also, what is the blast?
The blast.
Thanks also, didn't know Yahoo was still around. Who works at Yahoo? Is Yahoo just run?
I worked at Yahoo.
No, but you worked there when Yahoo was still a thing before, like the grand, before like the all the layoffs.
Abu Dhabi. Yeah, I was in the layoffs.
Yeah, I have another friend that was also working at Yahoo.
People who work
layoffs.
At Yahoo now are like people who've
been to war,
who've worked there, who've survived
the
layoffs.
80 years old.
There were people that like ran Yahoo News that were like very like, we do things a little differently here.
Yeah.
And like, they did not like me. They were like,
no time for new blood.
No time for
they
your.
They literally like got, they like were 30 when like the .com boom happened and they have like tenure at Yahoo.
I'd be like, I want to write about Blake Lively, like with bees coming out of her mouth. And they'd be like, absolutely not. Which is like actually reasonable. But like, I was like, why not? And they were like,
that's just not what we do. That's not what we do here. I have a theory that Yahoo is now just run by like AI that generates all their content. Like no humans actually work there. It's just an algorithm.
It's run by the Boston Dynamic dogs.
Yeah.
Those robo dogs, mm-hmm. Which recently someone
who just like type
Karen Kilgariff, who does My Favorite Murder. Mm-hmm. She's a friend of mine. And we were talking about those dogs recently. And she said that they have their heads look like fists.
Yeah.
Which made me laugh so hard.
They're like little fist heads.
She's like, oh yeah, those dogs with fists for heads.
Total fist heads. They use their little paws to type one letter at a time.
You might be right about that.
Who works at Yahoo? Literally
no one.
It's
like bots.
It's a bot. It's literally a server in like a hub somewhere that is just plugged into an algorithm that just like generates all their news.
God, that's a really good theory.
So anyways,
They wrote the blast.
Yeah, they wrote the blast. The blast might be AI too.
The blast could be AI slash like Russian.
Yeah, the blast feels really Russian to me.
It feels like...
Because they just like rephrased everything from the Yahoo article with like less details.
It's like English translation, you know, mm-hmm. Like Russian to English.
Yeah.
It feels like...
ESL.
Things are missing.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
we have a lot to think about. And
Do your homework.
Move to New York.
Buy one bedroom in the village.
Have a trust fund. Work for Eli
or
work for
hotel.
Sharon. Find Sharon.
Work at a boutique hotel.
Yeah. That's all.
Anywho.
Bye.
Bye.